State of Mangaung, Metro, during the meeting of the 13th of November 2020. We started a discussion on the challenges and opportunities facing amalgamated municipalities. Colleagues will recall that in the run-up to the 2016 local government elections, Mangaung was among those municipalities that were subject to boundary redetermination, resulting in the incorporation of the Naledi local municipality into the metro. The Office of the MEC for Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs in the province delivered a comprehensive presentation on the effect of this amalgamation on the financial position of the metro. We heard how the financial fortunes of the municipality took a dramatic turn for the worse following the amalgamation. For example, the Mangaung Council concluded the financial year ending 20 June 16 with an accumulated surplus of 11.4 billion from the pre-amalgamation years. In the financial year ending in June 2019, 4 years after the amalgamation, Council sustained a deficit of 268.7 million. Council ended the 2019-20 financial year with current liabilities exceeding current assets by 135.6 million, rendering the municipality technically bankrupt. You will also note that unspent conditional grants increased by 333%. From 106 million in June 2016 to 459 million in June 2019, which is indicative of a cash flow crisis that is pushing the metro to use grants for non-intended purposes. Unauthorized expenditure increased by 267% from 654.8 million in June 2016 to 2.4 billion in June 2019, resulting in the municipality being the top contributor to unauthorized expenditure. Irregular expenditure also increased by 3,174% from 32.7 million in June 2016 to 1 billion in June 2019. Also, by 274 million in June 2016 to 88.7 million in June 2019. Colleagues, when you look at this data, you will agree with me that this data presents empirical evidence of the effect that the amalgamation reversed the financial viability of the metro instead of advancing it. This has contributed significantly to the current state of the municipality and has led to the invocation of the constitutional intervention in terms of section 139(5)(a) and (c) of the constitution. You will also recall that National Treasury has foreseen this viability challenge as advice against the amalgamation. In this case, there is an instance wherein the National Treasury advised against the amalgamation. However, I don't know what in form is amalgamation to be proceeded with, whereas National Treasury has advised against such. You also look at the report of the Auditor General for the financial year ending in June 2019, which identifies other serious problems. It also suggests the blame cannot be on the amalgamation alone. This includes lack of accountability for sound financial management, lack of performance monitoring and evaluation, lack of consequence management, increased non-compliance with the Municipal Finance Management Act and the supply chain policy on payment of service providers within the prescribed period, and the high vacancy rate which negatively affects the operation of the municipality. Today we want to consider the extent to which the financial recovery plan is assisting to address the financial crisis in the municipality since the invocation of the intervention on 9 December 2019. Other issues, you remember, this is the 12th month. We are at the end of the 12th month. Then maybe the children team will tell us whether this is working. The other issue of interest includes an update on the implementation of the post-audit action plan in respect of the 2018-19 financial year, institutional capacity, especially in relation to critical structures such as the Municipal Public Accounts Committee and the Municipal Disciplinary Board, and any other relevant that improve the state of the metro. I just want to welcome the department, SALDA in the province, the metro led by the mayor and the deputy speaker, and all of you, and want to hand over to me. Let's start with the department. That would be better, HOD. The metro will be the last response to raise issues. HOD? The other thing that Serene has asked me to change is having connectivity problem. If all of you can share your own presentation, that would be better. Can you get somebody to go to the presentation for the COVID, please? HOD, are you there?
Maybe if I may hand over to Dr. Mukhaza while I'm still looking to the
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson, if you do allow me. Indeed, there have been serious...
Advocate Mufukeng, please mute your microphone, please. Advocate Mufukeng, thank you. Proceed.
Thanks, Lord Honorable Chairperson, members of the committee and colleagues who are in this particular meeting. We were appointed actually as of mid-January, and we started our work. And as a result, we packaged a program as to how we are going to deal with this and with the challenges. And the program that we put together is a kind of slightly longer term type of a program divided into three stages. One was we saw just go in and embark on a rescue campaign. That is to rescue the municipality out of the challenge, the problem that it was in. It was serious financial problems and so on. So that moves in rescue between 6 and 8 months. And once you have done that, we would then move into a stabilization program, where we try and stabilize the governance of this municipality and enable the municipality to actually operate on its own without any assistance from anybody. And the last phase would then be the sustainability phase. And in that regard, we also had three programs that we said we're going to look at. The first one would be financial recovery. We identified a few targets which, if achieved, they would have enabled the municipality to recover. In a later presentation, which will be made by the city manager, we will show in them the movement in terms of financial recovery. And the next problem that we looked at was service delivery improvement. There were serious challenges in the municipality. We still have those challenges. You know, there is no machinery, there are no tools of trade. There are problems around aging staff, problems around aging infrastructure. So it's just a plethora of challenges. But we have...
Adem Kaza, is it only me saying this? I wanted to see your presentation. Can you see the presentation or you're only seeing the person?
Sorry, sir.
I was about to ask which presentation is administrator speaking on, and if there is a presentation, can we have it?
No, fine, Honorable Chair, what I was doing is just to give a preamble into what exactly has been happening. Given time frame, I will really hand over to the city manager. We do have a presentation, but I just wanted to contextualize that particular presentation so that it is understood that it is work that has been done by ourselves together with the municipality. So, without any waste of time, I will ask the city manager to actually flash the presentation and take the committee through. City manager.
Can the host allow Honorable Mpumza and Honorable Lutuli in, please?
Honorable Chairperson.
City manager, may you please flash the presentation?
What's happening with the Free State colleague this morning?
Chairperson, can maybe we be allowed through you, Chairperson? It's
Well done. It's loaded.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Honorable Chair. The city manager or the executive mayor will start the presentation, and then the city manager will go through the entire presentation.
I do have the presentation. I wanted to check. Matiloko office ni yamera hala para jimas. Tasambo di dekambo na hapa amas. Ni direct.
I'm wearing my
mask. This is the homes. All of you.
I'm wearing my mask. I'm wearing my mask. But
you're not wearing it. You've just put it under your chin now. Please.
Portfolios that they were occupying before the changes. offices of council are functional. 10, we have 10 Section 80 committees, 10 committees including MPEC, the committees conduct disciplinary board, and municipal planning tribunal. The WIPARI meets regularly to provide both political, administrative directions and cohesion for the city. Council is able to hold meetings and process issues and execute its legislative mandate. Our committee sits regularly, make recommendations to both myself and council for decisions. We have sadly lost two councillors through COVID-19 pandemic. The other councillor passed away due to natural causes, meaning that we have three ward councillors that we've lost, and we recently had by elections in ward 33 and ward 28 in Mangaung, of which we both won as the ruling party. The city has been doing very, very well, both internally and externally, to lead with COVID-19. We established COVID Command Center for Administration and COVID Command Council for Political Leadership. The city is currently experiencing a spike of COVID-19 cases, although we are managing them. Our current financial challenges relate to a high government debt, high debt by the FDC, number of schools not paying for services, especially Section 21 schools, and our debt to Blue Water, high domestic debt due to high levels of unemployment. We do not owe ESCOM, although we have challenges with the billing sector and if we pay on the 30th of the month, they levy interest. COVID-19 has also caused some of the businesses to struggle with the payments for services that they receive from the city. Our current service delivery challenges relate to huge infrastructure backlog, especially in the areas of Kiverstok, Repenar, Van Stadensres, Southbank, Tabantu, and Botabelo. ESCOM is supplying electricity to some of the areas which provide the services ourselves through Centlex. The city is on a verge of a serious water shortage due to limited availability supply. We wish that the project of Harib pipeline can be fast-tracked so that Bloom Water is able to access water from
okay. Catcher, while CFO is getting ready, just this slide is about the overview of our financial situation check, and we are comparing in terms of the two financial years, that is 1819 and 1920, where we are showing the net losses in the 1819 of 43.2 million share, which has grown to 145.7 in 1920 share. But in terms of us dealing with that aspect, and the major contributor to the escalation of the net loss share was as a result of the conditional grants. The city then, working with National Treasury, embarked on a process of adjusting the budget with, and then the issue of the condition with National Treasury for the repayment of those that were not utilized for the purpose. But in terms of the current situation, Chair, which we are indicating that all the grants have been ring-fenced, and then the city has created what we refer to as the sinking fund to make sure that as and when the liabilities and obligations are due, we are able to pay. And then on the second column, Chair, that reflects our current assets. The previous year, 1819, was at 466, and then that has also increased in the 1920 financial year. And then among the key activities that we are doing, Chair, to maintain the liquidity of the city is ensuring that the provincial government meets its obligations, but also managing, working with the intervention team, the control of our commitments so that as and when creditors have to be paid, there is enough money to pay. But also, Chair, to intensify the credit control and revenue collection such that we are able to collect and ensure that all our obligations, financial obligations, are met as and when they are due, Chair. The next slide, Chair, we are showing here indicates that our capital expenditure versus the assets. And unfortunately, there was a reduction. If you look at the two financial years, in 2019, we were at 728 million. We've gone down. But the main contributor, Chair, was the delays in some of the projects due to COVID and the time that was lost as a result of the lockdown, Chair. And then the assets, we also are showing a decrease have experienced a decrease from 14 to 13, Chair. But the major cost in terms of assets decrease is as a result of the huge service delivery backlogs that we must deal with, Chair. And the city is doing everything to make sure that there is sufficient provision in our budget to make sure that whilst we are investing in new infrastructure, we still maintain the old and the current infrastructure that remain the roads and the underground water. So this slide, we are showing the funding mix of the city in terms of our CAPEX. It's not an ideal picture because if you look the blue line, Chair, shows a growing trend of grants that the city used for in the main CAPEX. And this is the picture that we have been working on in terms of us trying to reverse and overturn, Chair. Although the city has been experiencing, what we didn't do in the current administration, Chair, was to avoid the issue of borrowings. If you look at the amount of the borrowing, the city has been careful there because we had a lot of old loans that we had to pay. The borrowing here, Chair, was mainly to focus on machinery and equipment, because our fleet is very old and we had to replenish our fleet chair. The MEF Clyde chair is, in brief or in general terms, our situation in terms of our debtors, where we are showing on the left-hand side of the screen is our debtors by group. This information is up to the 31st of October, Chair, where we are showing that the business is the debt is sitting at 1.5, which is about 23%. Government 1.5 also, 23.3%. The larger bulk of our debtors is our domestic consumer chair at 53.5%. The amount being 3.6. And then on the right hand side, share, and the overall is about 6.7 share. On the right hand side, the pie shows the data, the sources of, in terms of income or the services that the city must fund its budget. Water being the largest share. And this is the matter that we are dealing with, and we've got a program running together with National Treasury, National Copter, also helping the city to deal with non-revenue water. Electricity chair and the rates following, so it's a picture of different services that contribute to our overall of revenue collection or our ability to collect, and we're giving a picture since 2015-16, and showing the trend of revenue collection, Chair. In 1920, there was a decline, Chair, where we were sitting at 17.6%, Chair, which is ideal because the norm from NT is about 92% that we need to strive for. And then it's the diagram on the right shows the comparison in terms of the different financial year, in terms of the actuals versus what is the norm by MP Chair. Chair, here we are reflecting and showing to say our creditors and our liabilities, Chair, which is 871. By October, Chair, and then a comparison between September and October month, Chair, creditor is bulk electricity purchases, Chair, followed by Centlec and our water, salaries and third parties, Chair, pension deductions, and we can report to the portfolio committee that as the city, we are not defaulting on ESCOM as well as our third party purchases, Chair. There are issues here and there with Blue Motor, and we are hoping that very soon this matter will be resolved. That is where there's some arrears in terms of where the city had some disputes, so but that matter is receiving attention on our chair, also even at the level of the war room as part of the intervention, Chair. As part of our implementation of the financial recovery plan, we just picked the main targets that the city needs to look at to maintain the financial sustainability and viability, Chair. The target by October of in terms of the operating expenditure, the city was able to meet and go beyond what was the target by 78 million, because the target was 617, and we were able to 695. Also important, Chair, as we indicated, is our ability to manage our commitments and obligations so that we are able to service our creditors. The expenditure target was 564, and then we meet this target share, but the major contributor by 150 million, the major contributor share, and we are looking into this, was around contracted services share. The other issue that we are tackling and dealing with chair is the issue of the escalating over time, the acting allowances, but we are revisiting our organogram so that we can deal with this, but also make sure that we are employing more people, major contributors in terms of our overtime chair being solid waste and water and sanitation. Then ensuring that the daily cash flow in order, that target was met, Chair. Collections, Chair, the target was 81%. We were able to achieve the target and then exceed by 3%, Chair, despite the challenges that most of our consumers are having, Chair, including the business sector, Chair, because due to COVID and their inability to trade well, most of them have been coming into the city and requesting to make arrangements to settle their bills. So we're not intending to write off, but the city is open to make sure that we can make suitable arrangements for our own survival, Chair, but also for the survival of our business sector, because the city relies more on our business sector. And then, moving forward, government debt, Chair, in terms of the target 521, the payment was just missed by 26 million. There is ongoing engagement, Chair, with the government to make sure that they meet their obligations, Chair, and assist the city in terms of its ability to survive. We still must renegotiate and agree with provincial government in terms of the proposed payment plan, Chair. But these amounts that are here, Chair, are excluding the debt of the school, Section 21 schools that are not saving. But also, we did not include the figures that are owed to Centlec, which is our entity, Chair. And then, in terms of the next one, Chair, mainly here is on Blue Motor, where it was target 540, Chair, and then we did not meet that by that target, Chair. There is, as I indicated earlier, on some dispute here, and we're hoping that very soon that dispute will be settled so that we are able to service our account, and we are okay with Blue Motor, Chair. Eskom is one of our major creditors, Chair. The target is that we should not be owing Eskom, Chair, but as alluded to earlier on by the acting executive mayor, we are in arrears of 28 million, Chair, but we are just saying, and we are aware as the city that there is a problem at national level to deal with the billing cycle by Eskom of 15 days versus 30 days, Chair, because from day 16 onwards, we attract interest. So every month, this is unfortunately the situation that we find ourselves in, whereby we need to service this arrears, Chair. And we are hoping the matter will be resolved at national so that the billing cycle of Eskom is the same as those of other entities, including ourselves, where it's 30 days instead of 15 days, Chair. And the interest percentage that they charge if you are late in terms of your payment of your account. And then, what did we do, or what do we do to make sure that we do not find ourselves in trouble, particularly on the conditional grants, Chair? The city is indicating that all of them have been ring-fenced and they are cash-backed to make sure that as and when the project payments are due, we are able to can service, Chair. We also requested to reflect the audit outcomes over a period. So we are showing here at the top chair is the consolidated audit outcomes since 2015 up to the last financial year, 2019-20. And then at the bottom chair, it shows the standard loans for the municipality and its entity, which is qualification. There are efforts to make sure that we improve in the situation, Chair. And then, Chair, here we are just showing and reporting to the committee in terms of revenue collection of the city and also comparing the different periods. It does show that from March, April, May, Chair, and June, there was a serious decline, and the major contributor to the decline, Chair, was as a result of COVID, and then our figures are showing that there was a need for us to improve. Currently, Chair, what we are working on as the city is to make it much easier for our customers to utilize all alternative mechanisms of payments. We don't have a slide that shows that during this period we realized after our campaigns that most of the money share that we received was mainly through electronic transfers. This is the walk-in payment, so it's a mechanism that the city needs to intensify so that all our consumers are able to can utilize that facility. And then in terms of, again, here we are reflecting that there was a decrease in April month by on the collection 25%, Chair, and then May, June, Chair, the losses were 20.8%, and then June, 3.3%. During that period, what we then did was to engage extensively through the office of the acting executive mayor with the provincial government because of understanding that most of our consumers were not in a very good situation, and then the provincial government did make their payments, and then that in a way cushioned the serious blow that the city was suffering. Chair, and then the major contributors to the net collections was on water, electricity, but we then resolved then that because of the situation, those that were in areas the city was not going to impose on those, as I said earlier, on majority of the businesses to plead with the city one to make arrangement for a deferred payment on their accounts, but also to agree with us to say they may not service their current account to the full amount, Chair. Chair, this is graphically to show the decline in terms of the collection, Chair. During 1920, we show that in quarter one, Chair, we were at 1.314. It has been decreasing, Chair. We are hopeful we'll turn because the fourth quarter we are at 1.1, Chair, in terms of collection, Chair. Chair, this is at high level expenditure that the city had to incur in terms of dealing with issues of COVID. Chair, protective clothing that had to be supplied, Chair, to our workforce, even those that in the past not needed, we had to supply frontline staff, Chair. There was also a major focus on the issue of water and sanitation. particularly in our informal settlements, Chair, but also all the public spaces, Chair, we had to make sure that they are provided, including issues of contamination of all the public open spaces and public areas where there were gatherings of people, your taxi rank, your malls, and other areas, Chair. And then there was also issue of overtime, Chair, because of other employees having to do some of the works, and the numbers increased during this period of people that had to do overtime, Chair. And then, Chair, the next slide, we are dealing with the issues of unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure, Chair. Unfortunately, in our situation, this is coming some time back, Chair, and then it's cumulative, the figure of 2.4 billion that we show in there, Chair, because due to various factors, in 2016, taking over, there were a number of investigations that were not concluded, Chair, but also as part of amalgamation finalization that had to be incorporated, Chair. So that sum of finalizations, but the investigations have been ongoing, Chair. And then we can report that, Chair, in 18-19, after consideration of the other reports, Chair, in terms of the unauthorized, the council was able to write off 3.4 Chair, and then the current balance that we are having, and the closing balance is 2.4, Chair. I'll talk to this aspect later on in the presentation, Chair, in terms of currently what we are doing to ensure that, Chair, as you indicated, we are one of the contributors or the top 10 in terms of the last AG report, Chair. But the city is seriously addressing this matter, Chair. Here we are just showing over the different years, the different amounts of unauthorized and how they have been accumulating to the extent that we are sitting at 2.4 billion, Chair. And then, Chair, this part relates to irregular expenditure, Chair. Also, the same kind of situation has been accumulating. And then 18-19, there was a write-off of 336 million. And then we are currently sitting at balance, closing balance of 1 billion, Chair, on the irregular expenditure. And then here is just a breakdown in terms of the different years, just to show how also the irregular has been accumulating and why we are on 1 billion, Chair. But as I have indicated, the matter is receiving attention, and I'll talk to one. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure, Chair, similar trend. The closing balance here is 88 million, Chair. And then also a breakdown of the different financial year and the cumulative effect that of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, Honorable Chair. And then the next portion of the presentation, Chair, deals with the report of the AG and then the audit action plan, Chair. And we are just reflecting and showing from 17-18, Chair, there were 3 parts of the qualification. 18-19, there were 4 paragraphs in terms of the qualification, Chair. The first paragraph was insufficient, what the AG raised was insufficient appropriate evidence for accrued leave pay included in the payables, Chair. The second one being the employee benefit obligation, the opening balance from 2018, the concern that it was not valued and there was no reliance that AG could put on that one. And then the third one being not all irregular expenditures was disclosed in the AFS, Chair, for 2018. And then the last paragraph, an issue that AG had an issue with was that in terms of traffic fines, and because we did not have a what we call traffic contravention system check, that not all revenue for traffic fines could be accounted for or was accounted for due to inadequate record keeping, due to the manual system that was utilized when the contract with our service provider was terminated. And then there were also, I won't go in details in terms of the emphasis of meta chair. Okay. And then how has the city been dealing with this meta chair in terms of our audit action plan? The finding where the AG found that there was insufficient appropriate evidence for accrued leave pay included in the payables. The major contributor here, Chair, was also that this matter was more manual, and therefore the record keeping and the balances, the AG had problem that he can't put reliance on the information. And therefore, since then, the city then migrated and then implemented a automated system to manage and regulate our leave module so that employees can apply online and then the information is properly recorded. Because sometimes the manual leave forms were not captured on time, resulting in them being unreliable as to the leave days that have been accrued and what the employees should take leave, I mean the times the employees should go on leave, particularly as and when it should be obligatory on that part of the employee to go on leave. The second thing with doing this, there was also just to make sure that the record service provider to assist our corporate service, the unit there or the division being HR benefits, to make sure that their information is reliable when it is uploaded and then captured. The second one was employee benefit obligations. The balances from the previous financial year then that were not valued and where the AG also had a problem to say the assumptions were not liable. And as a city chair, we also agreed then that we had to appoint a firm of actuaries to make sure that the recalculation, so that the balances tally. The recalculations can be done starting 17-18 chair, so that the information when it goes to 18-19 is properly revalued and the balances are corrected and are accurate chair. And that information has been ongoing and then we're supposed to conclude in the previous financial year. The other issue was not all irregular expenditure was disclosed in the notes, Chair. Mainly here the AG having a problem with how the city had composed its big committee chair, big adjudication committee chair. This matter in terms of our, although we did make amendments in the policy, but this matter is ongoing in terms of us engaging with the AG and also the National Treasury, so that there is a common understanding in terms of the provisions of the regulations. This is what the city's internal SCM policy say, Chair. But the policy was amended so that we can be on the same page, Chair, in the 1920 financial year. Then on the issue of traffic fines, Chair, the issue not all revenue being accounted for due to inaccurate record keeping. Chair, what has happened, we had a service provider who was supplying the city with a system called contravention system share, but due to contractual disputes, the contract was terminated and the service provider left the city, and we did not have an immediate replacement. Recording and reconciliations were done manually, but the concern from AG was that no proper reliance could be placed on the manual recording chair. And then in terms of us correcting this matter, whilst we were busy with the issue of the appointment of a new service provider, there were internal arrangements that we needed to have dedicated people looking at the movement of the traffic fines in terms of the different stages, but also to ensure that they are properly recorded. So there was a dedicated team of officials which were assigned the responsibility, also working with our IT team, so that whilst waiting for the proper contravention system, our IT can make sure that we still capture the traffic systems in different stages on a system that can be monitored. In terms of consequence management, we do indicate that our disciplinary board has been established, it's functional chair, but in terms of that report of 18-19 chair, based on the MPEC oversight report chair, 14 items were then referred to the board for further investigations chair, and the board did conduct own investigations chair and finalized the report chair, which I think has been submitted to the speaker, who then take it back to council for further actions to be taken chair in terms of the corrective and other measures that are required as part of a consequence management. The other registers or reports were submitted to council, the ones that I said we are sitting on 2.4 billion and other outstanding registers. A report was submitted to council not long ago, and then it is with MPEC, and the investigation has started by Centrelec chair. And then chair, as indication of ensuring consequence management, we also pulled from, because we also have a disciplinary register, we put the transgressions or actions that we are enforcing consequence management of a financial nature chair, and this cuts across the entire institution in the different directorates of the institution. So this shows the actions that the city has taken in terms of discipline of employees where the offenses or transgressions are of a financial nature chair. There are other ones, but we've pulled those that are of a financial nature chair. Dishonesty, fraud, theft. We also had one in dereliction of duty where the official did not bank the money in terms of the laid down procedures, because from finance there are guidelines in terms of management and handling of cash from our customers. So when that official did not follow the procedures, disciplinary measures have to be implemented to make sure that we don't have similar incidents happening in future. The continuation chair, fraud in terms of traffic fines, we need to ensure that our officials are not taking bribes from our public, leading into lawlessness on our street and on our road chair. Cross negligence, we are also dealing with that. I've also talked about theft and unauthorized use of council property for personal benefit or personal gratification. And then, Chair, the other matter that we needed to report to the committee was in terms of institutional capacity and the vacancies in terms of what you call Section 56 chair or executive management chair, we can report to the committee that the city has all the positions filled chair in terms of our different directorates, including the office of the city manager chair, and in terms of the competency requirements chair, all the executive do comply and meet the minimum competency requirements, and these positions have been filled since 2017, chair. In the last council, chair, council has also considered the issue of establishment of a PMU. That process is unfolding, and then we'll be working with National Treasury to place, because there will be an element of challenge for the first 3 years in terms of PMU unit in the city chair. We can indicate that, yes, in terms of the other technical below this level chair, whether it's in finance, whether it's in planning, whether it's in engineering services, there are officials, the capacity not the best or not the ideal situation. We are relooking at that matter, chair, also revisiting our organogram to make sure that it's fit for purpose, and then it can be able to assist the city to react and to deal with its own challenges in terms of service delivery, but also meeting its own mandate to its own constituencies, chair. And then, chair, in terms of internal audit committee, chair, our committee is in place, chair, as the executive mayor has alluded to earlier on, and then we have been having it since 2007 to 2008, chair. The current committee that has been appointed, chair, is consisting of 4 members, 3 females, 1 male. The other vacancy could not be audit, was not filled, and the issue here was to try and have a proper skills mixed chair in terms of to enable the committee to deal with the different areas. What was discovered, chair, and we need to go out and advertise that, was that skills like engineering, legal, and other skills are not represented in the committee. And as a result, this hampers the ability of the committee to deal holistically with other things, although there is still support from the city administration. But to maintain independence, you need across the board skills for the committee. So it's the matter that the city is looking into, and if it means even adding more people beyond the number 5, the city will consider that. And I am aware, I know, Chair, that the Speaker is assist with this matter to make sure that the committee can be able to run its affairs independently. And Chair, here is just to reflect the activities of the committee over a period of 18 months. And the number of meetings the committee has. Chair, 20 also, chair, although we are indicating that in terms of the lockdown, for a period of time, the work of the committee was hampered, but arrangements were put in place to make sure that the committee is functional. And then, apologies. In terms of the current financial year 2021, the committee already has had a few sittings and meetings in those different days, chair. And then the first report has already been submitted to council for consideration. Chair, for the audit committee to perform internally, we've got internal audit chair, and we are showing to the committee in terms of the capacity of the internal audit committee in the city administration chair. All in all, we've got 11 internal auditors chair, headed by the general manager, and all our internal auditors, honorable chair, are registered members of the Institute of Internal Auditors, and have all the relevant skills and qualifications, to the extent that the AG has got confidence in the work that they are doing, and is able to rely on the work that the internal audit prepares for the AG. Chair, also here, what we have been grappling with also as part of the internal capacity is mainly two areas, ICT and project management, so that they too can independently perform their work without even having to rely on external skills. And as indicated, our internal audit is also fully functional and effective, are able to generate reports. And then we say their work and duties are guided by internal audit charter, chair, and on an annual basis, a plan is put in place that will then assist them to perform the work as and when they audit the different departments or directorates of the city. And as indicated, AG is placing reliance on the work of the internal audit to the extent that some of the preliminary investigated, and then they are the work on our chair to the AG. In terms of MPEC, its capacity and effectiveness, we can report to the committee that we have a fully established functional MPEC as part of oversight and governance. Fortunately, that was the last slide, Chair. Thank you to the committee for the opportunity to present. Thanks, Honourable Chair.
Thank you. Is the department ready now? Yes, you do, Duma.
Yes, sir, we are ready. We have submitted our presentation. Let me indicate that the presentation, as per the brief we are required to reflect on, has got about four parts. The first part, as per the brief, was to reflect on Mangaung Metro Municipality. Part B, the report on the status of municipalities within the province. Part C deals with Section 139 intervention. And Part D, it deals with the MSMA compliance, monitoring and support by both COGTA and provincial treasurer. So I will have to get guidance from you, Chair, on how to deal, but I can talk to the slides. I know it's about 150-something slides, but I will not necessarily read them word for word. But I can just give an overview in each of the slides of all the parts from Part A up to Part D. So I will have to get guidance from you, Chair. We have submitted the report. I will further request that the Secretariat should slide our report, if you agree, Chair. Thanks.
Okay. Do deal with the overview for all the parts.
Yes, Chair. The first part, I'm not sure if that will be slided on the screen, because, like I said, it's 150 slides. I will request the Secretariat to assist, because, like I said, one is using the telephone. There's a problem with our networks here, and the one will not be able to share the presentation on the phone. But I will request Secretariat to actually assist in terms of sharing the presentation. I'm not sure if Secretariat can hear me with the request, Chair.
Secretariat, can you hear the HOD?
I'm here, Chair, but I don't have the presentation.
Somebody's hearing. It's the AG1.
Not the AG1. I think it was sent to Sherin. Sherin should have the presentation.
Can you share it yourself? Don't you have the view, the authority to share?
that I'm using the cell phone, it does not give me an option to share Chairperson.
Any of your colleagues?
I'm the only one in the meeting at this stage. I will check with Dr. Botha. Dr. Botha is sharing it now. Yeah, Dr. Botha is sharing it now. I think it's perfect that way. We're sharing it from our side.
Sure.
There we are. Thanks, Dr. Botha. Chairperson, can we then go to the next slide, please, Dr. Botha? Or Anik, whoever is operating the slide. Chairperson, what we're saying, this presentation is a joint effort between Free State Coctel and Provincial Treasurer. As per the brief, we needed to reflect on the status of all municipalities, the Section 139 intervention, including the monitoring and support provided to municipalities by the department, and those are the parts of the presentation. The first one will deal extensively with Bangau. The second part of the report, like I said, it's the status of municipalities and the Section 139 intervention, including the MFMA compliance, monitoring and support by both Treasury and COCTA. Next slide, please. The one that reflects on Mangau. Chairperson, what we are saying is that we are reflecting a situation which is the cause why the metro is in this financial problem that they find themselves in. We are then reflecting a position pre the amalgamation and a position post amalgamation. And you would know, Chairperson, that for a municipality to be viable, you look at quite a number of factors, one being the situation among constituents, sound and stable inter-institutional management, accountability and transparency. Those are some of the things that you must actually look at before you can then say the municipality is operating well in terms of the constitutional imperatives. The second slide, please. Slide 6, please, because I hold the second slide, please, yes. Metro pre-amalgamation, which is the period 2015-16 financial year. You would recall that the local government elections was in August 2016, and that's when immediately thereafter the towns were amalgamated. It's actually ex-Naledi, which constitute of three towns, and part of Masilunyana, which constitute one town. It's so good part. Now, what we're reflecting, Chair, is that in 2015-16 financial year, the current assets of the municipality were actually standing at 2 billion. They, however, increased to 18-19 financial year to 3.1 billion. And that is a movement of 1.1 billion. Because remember, the city also accepted the assets from the three or four towns. Three towns in Naledi and one town in Macedonia. That's why in terms of their current asset, there was that increase. However, we must actually indicate that during the period 18 and 19, the city suffered the VAT receivables and also the investment. That's why those two areas are not reflected in 1819. But however, we mark that improvement of 1.1 billion in terms of the assets. The next slide deals mainly with the bar representation of what I've already spoken about. And the next slide, obviously, Chair, deals with the non-current assets. And then we do that comparison between 2015-16 financial year and 18-19 financial year. You will see, Chair, that in the total, in 15-16 financial year, was 16 billion. And in 18-19 financial year was, however, 18 billion because of the inclusion of the assets or the non-current assets of both Naledi and Masilonyana into the metro. But you will see in subsequent slides that the effects of the amalgamation when it comes to personal compensation, it has got a negative impact on the city. So the only areas that the city may have actually suffered compared to 15-16 financial year to 18-19 financial year. It's actually the intangible asset and the heritage asset, because the two municipalities, Naledi and Masilonyam, did not have these. So that's why it has affected the decline in terms of those assets, because the metro has always said intangible asset and heritage asset. In 15-16, it was 108 million and as in intangible asset and the heritage asset, 3.5 decline when you compare that in 2018. Municipalities, as I have already indicated, do not have both the intangible asset and the heritage asset. The next slide, it is just the bar representation of what I have already reflected on. The next slide deals with the current liabilities. You will see, Chair, that when it comes to the liabilities, there was also an increase. In 2015-16 financial year, the metro had the current liabilities of 1.9 billion, but it further increased in 2018-19 financial year to be 3.2 billion, and that increase of 1.3 has been quite significant, and that's why the metro is currently in the financial crisis, because there was an increase in the liability of about 1.3 billion to bring it to 3.2 billion. The next slide is just that bar representation of what I have already spoken about. The green color represented the period between 15-16 and the blue one period between 18-19, and it gives the details of the bar representation on how and what are those liabilities that the city had actually suffered. The next slide talks to the non-current liabilities. The non-current liabilities, you will also see that during the period 15-16, the amount was actually 2.4 billion, and in 18-19 financial year, it further increased to 2.8 billion, and then that marks an improvement of about 398 million. So these are some of the reasons the city finds itself in. So these are some of the things that has caused the current crisis in the city. And the next slide deals with the bar representation or schematic representation of what I have already alluded on. And now, the total net assets, the next slide, shows here that during the period 15-16, the city had a total net asset of 18 billion and then total liabilities of 4.8 billion, yes, and then the total net asset of the city was standing at 13.4 billion and it further increased in 18-19 financial year to 15.7 billion, which marks an increase of about 2.2 billion. And the reason is simple, that this amalgamation, because the city had to take all those liabilities, including the assets, from the Naledi and Masilonyam, and that's why there's that increase. The next slide is just a schematic representation or the bar representation of what I have represented the period between 15-16 and the 200. The next slide, you will see it say that in 15-16, the city had a surplus of 11 billion. And that got affected after the amalgamation because it went down to a minus of 268 million, which means that the city was in deficit at the end of the 18-19 financial year. And this is one of the reasons that has caused us to actually intervene in the city. But it's not because there has been good or there has been negative governance in the city. But the amalgamation has actually brought more bad into the city. And it's represented by that bar chart. 15-16, you would see there was that surplus, but in 18-19 there was that deficit of 268 million. Let me skip this slide because it deals with what I've already reflected on in terms of what actually happened and what led to this to the city to be where it is. Now let's go to the next one, which deals with government grants and subsidies. In 15-16, the grants were standing at 920, but they further increased because while we say the amalgamation has actually brought a burden on the metro, but there are also positive elements as far as the amalgamation is concerned. You would see period between 15-16, there was that 920,000, but it further increased to 1 billion in 18-19 financial year as a result of the city enjoying some of the grants that were initially enjoyed by the local municipality. And you will see the some of those grants that the city actually enjoyed, which they never had an opportunity to enjoy in previous, like your local government finance management grant. In 15-16, it was 1.3, and then it increased in 18-19. The other one is sports, art and culture, admin libraries. In 15-16, it was standing at 7.8, and it further increased to 1.9 million in 18-19 financial year. So we are saying the increase in terms of the capital subsidy has been realized at a bit of 176 million, which then represents about 19% increase compared to the 15-16 financial year. And that is one of the positive elements of the amalgamation. But the negative far surpasses the positive elements, because you will see on the grants it's positive, but on the liabilities, the city has actually suffered a lot of money and also on compensation. You see in subsequent slides. The next points that I've reflected on, and that the city has actually lost over a period of time, like the expanded public works program incentives. It was there in 15-16 financial year, but it was not made available in 18-19 financial year. So in the sustainable human settlement grant, it was available in 15-16 financial year, but never available in 18-19 financial year. But the positive thing is that the neighborhood partnership development grant, which was never there in 15-16 financial year, was then made available in the 18-19 financial year. So in the electrification, national electrification program, was not available in the 15-16 financial year, but was made available in the 18-19 in the amount of about 15 million. And the next subsequent slide deals with the bar representation or thematic representation of what I have already reflected on. Now we come into the unspent conditional grant. Chair, you will see that there's a number of grants that the city never performed well in terms of those grants. But we are reflecting, during 15-16 years, the total of unspent grant was 106 million, but it further increased in 18-19 financial year to be 459 million. And that increase represents about 352 million, which is 333%. And the next slide deals with those unspent grants. In 15-16 financial year, it was 106 million. And then in 17-18, it was 329 million. In 18-19, it further increased to 459 million. And the bar chart represents that the green represents the figure 15-16, the blue 17-18, and the yellow 18-19. Now, what are the main cost drivers in terms of the next slide here? You will see that in 15-16 financial year, the city, in terms of the total bulk purchase, was spending 1.7 billion. And it increased in 18-19 financial year to be 2.3 billion. Compensation of employees, you will see that the city used to spend 1.4 billion, but because of the amalgamation, that has since increased to 2.1 billion. So are the finance costs. They have increased to 178 in 18-19 financial year. Repairs and maintenance. In 15-16, the city was using an amount of 591, but in 18-19 financial year, the budget was not made available, and this is one of the problems that has created to be where it is now. And the total for 8 billion, and it increased in 18-19 as 5.6 billion, and that represents about 17% as compared to the 15-16 financial year. And the next slide, it's also that bar representation of what I have already spoken about. The green represents the figure 15-16 financial year, and the blue represents the 18-19 financial year. Now we come to the most critical area of our observations, which deals with the line and distribution losses in terms of water and electricity. In the 15-16
Council disclosed the material loss of 146 million compared to the period of 186 million in 1819. But because of the concerted efforts that were there, that's why we're standing at 186 million. Because in the period during the 2018 financial year, it was quite high. It was standing at 256 million. Now it shows that the city is in the right direction in terms of cutting on the losses around electricity and water. Now, what are the causes for these losses? One is technical loss, pipes that are bursting, and the leakages, faulty meters, and unmetered consumption. Those are some of the problems. You would know, like, it's a problem in all municipalities where the informal settlement will connect water and electricity to gas, and that put burden in terms of the bill of water and electricity in municipalities. So that is the kind of situation that has affected the city. The next slide, we are just simply reflecting the period between 15-16 financial year around electricity and water, and then the period 18-19. So you will see those differences there. What has been the situation in 15-16 and what is the situation in 18-19 financial year. The next slide is just simply the bar representation of the figures I've already responded on around the losses in terms of electricity and water. Now, the next slide deals with the salaries and allowances versus the equitable share, which is one of the areas which will actually reflect why the city is currently having it up to actually comply with some of their constitutional obligation as a result of this amalgamation. In the 15-16 financial year, the city was spending 1.4 billion in terms of salaries and allowances, which equitable share they got from national government was standing at 4%, because the city is currently reliant on grants. If you have a decent amount of money to cover salaries, then the city internally would then have to augment with an amount of 179 million so as to reach the 1.4 billion in terms of the salary allowance. The situation worsened in 18-19 financial year, because now the salaries and allowance, because of the amalgamation, spiraled up to 2.1 billion. And the equitable share, while it may have, a significant increase because of the inclusion, but it further has actually exacerbated the matter in terms of the financial pressure, because then the city needed an amount of 1.4 billion, which is the amount they used to pay in 15-16 financial year, but because of the amalgamation, this is the amount of money they need now to augment to reach a figure of 2.1 million. So these are some of the after effects of amalgamation, and below is that pie representation, in fact, the bar representation of the period that I've actually spoken about. I will not necessarily go to the issues relating to supply chain here, but these are the issues that were raised by the AG around the findings, to say why you have some of the irregular, wasteful and fruitless things. So the past covered what has been highlighted by the AG as areas of great concern, to make sure that these issues were just attended to. And I'm aware that the team together with the ESCO representative together with the team at Mangalu, they are doing all efforts to ensure that at least they can deal with these issues that were identified by the AG in the previous financial year, because some of those issues are recurring even up to the end of the 18-19 financial year. The expenditure classification. The unauthorized expenditure was standing at 645 in 15-16, but it further increased in 18-19, and this is exactly what the city manager reflected. But because of this amalgamation, there were certain issues that were not cleared by Ex-Nalini and Macedonia, and then those issues actually affected the audit outcome of the municipality, and then increased also on the unauthorized expenditure, as you would see there. It was 654 in 15-16 financial year, but it increased in 18-19 financial year to 2 billion as a result of this amalgamation. So it's the same with the irregular expenditure. It was standing at 32 million in 15-16 financial year, and it increased to 1 billion in 18-19 financial year because of the amalgamation. You will also see that in terms of the which day. So that's why we're saying the amalgamation of the F actually has positive elements, though insignificant, I must say. But when it comes to liabilities and other issues that affect the audit outcome of the CISA, which has been quite significant, this picture depicts exactly what has happened and why the CISA finds itself to where it is now. The next slide is just a summary of what I've already reflected on. We don't necessarily have to go there. Then let's go to the issue relating to first wave management check. Yes, while currently we are aware that the city is doing a lot, but we are not yet convinced as the department that much is being done. Because focus now is on the 18-19 financial year. But what are we saying about those transgressions that may have happened prior to 18-19 financial year? It's our view that the city must also consider those issues. They must be investigated, and then council must get an information and decide what should happen about the transgressions that happened even before the period 18-19 financial year. The audit outcome, I don't necessarily have to go through that because the metro has also reflected what was the outcome. We're now standing as qualified. We hope to improve during the 19-20 financial year, but there have been quite a number of challenges. So, but there's a work that has been done to ensure that the outcome of the audit in terms of the NG actually represent the positive side. We can continue, but what is also important on slide 37, this is what the AG has said around Mangamu, and I'm sure the team is now improving on those areas. When you regard these three levels that the AG considers when he audits any institution, the AG on the first level has indicated that there's limited assurance provided by senior management and accounting officers. And executive mayor was providing some assurance, and we want that yellow and gray and red to actually improve to be green. The audit committee, as part of the second layer of accountability, was also providing limited assurance. And, you know, the internal audit unit in the municipality was also providing some assurance. And the MPEG, limited assurance, and municipal council, some assurance. So we want the situation to actually improve, to be green. That's why that set column check, it's as wide as is. But under normal circumstances, when an institution is functioning very well, you would need to improve all these levels, and the third column will then be green. So we'll be happy that there's a change in terms of the number of things that are actually added. Now, dealing with consumer debtors and PMS. 15-16, around all those areas, rain, electricity, water, sewer, and reduce, and the rentals. The 15-16 financial year, it was 1 billion, and increased in 18-19 financial year to 2.2 billion. So if the city has to raise some of the things, you will find that in 15-16 financial year, the city was to write off about 1 billion. But in 18-19 financial year, it's standing at 2.2 billion, which is quite significant, and that represents an increase of about 112%. And the next slide deals with just a bar representation of those areas around 15-16 and 18-19 financial year. The green one, 15-16, and the blue one, 18-19 financial year. Consumer debtors and impairments. In 15-16 financial year, council wrote off the debt of about 265 million, and in 19, it increased to 349 million, and that represents an increase of 84 million. Because if you look at the difference, this period of 16, it was prior to amalgamation, and in 18-19, it was the amalgamation. So that difference of 84 million is there to actually reflect that the amalgamation has had negative impact for the city. And then the next slide is just that bar representation of the colors, blue and orange or yellow, representing the period between 18-19 and 15-16 financial year.
I will not necessarily have to go through the predetermined objectives, the performance management, but then I will go to part B in terms of the status of municipalities, Chair, which starts on slide 45. Yeah, I will not necessarily have to go to the details, but we are really reflecting in terms of the first level. What is the outcome and what is the position of the AG in terms of senior management, the accounting officer, and the mayors of municipalities? The Mangaung Metro have already said that, look under Harry. All municipalities under Harry, the senior management is actually providing limited assurance. As you can see in color red. And the accounting officer in all Karibis municipalities or local municipalities, there's that problem. Accounting officers are not providing Harib district municipality in terms of what the GAG has observed. And the same goes with the third column being the mayors and executive mayors. So the next slide also covers that area in terms of other districts. I will not necessarily have to go district by district, but that is the kind of situation that prevails in the province around our municipality. And that is why the audit outcome has been so...
Where are you, HOD?
Provincial Treasury. So that there's a red color and yellow color that you see in all these municipalities can actually turn to be green, and then we do things the way we're supposed to do them. So that goes on until slide number 50. And on slide number 51 is audit outcomes, Chair. So I don't necessarily have to go through that as well, but you will see when it comes to the metro, the AG has indicated that there's that improvement. As you would see that in 18-19 financial year, they have made a significant improvement in terms of the audit outcome. And that's why the AG is quite excited and happy that the metro is in the right direction. But you look at the rest of other municipalities, some have actually regressed, especially Nana and Masilonyana. But Masilonyana never submitted their audits. It's only now that they will be submitting them. But some of the municipalities have actually regressed, and Tokoloka also has not submitted their audits. Or their financial statement for audit, and that work is actually ongoing. And the picture also is not good, Chair, to be quite honest with you, because we would expect that in 18-19 financial year, there should have been quite a number of improvements in terms of the audit. And the next slide also is about the audit outcome until the slide number 53. The slide number 53 is just a summary comparing the period between 16-17 financial year and 17-18 financial year and 18-19 financial year. So you will see that in 16-17 financial year, we had two adverse findings and seven disclaimers. In 17-18, we never had adverse findings. So is the period 18-19. But in 17-18, we had four disclaimers and they got reduced in 18-19 financial year. Under qualified, there's that improvement and regression also in 18-19 financial year. We had four in 16-17, and then there was that improvement in 17-18, and there was a further decline in 18-19. So is the situation still pending in doing this? And like I said, the above slide also give the details of those municipalities, like your Malutjapufu, including Malutjapufu Water. Those are some of the outstanding or pending audit opinion. The next slide, slide number 54, deals with the debts that are owed to municipalities. I will not necessarily go to municipality by municipality, but if you look at the total, which is quite scary, most municipalities or jointly Harib municipalities are owed an amount of about 700 million. And it tells, in fact, they are not owed, they are owing those various entities, and the total is 701 million. They owe ESCOM, water boards, and outstanding pension contribution, salary deduction, SARS, auditor general, and trade creditors. So it shows that most municipalities are not are not financially viable because they don't have an economic base. The next slide also reflects what is actually owed by communities and government departments and other businesses to municipalities. And the total, you see, the municipality owes about 701 million. But they are owed also 746 million. So if the 766 million is actually paid, they will be then able to keep up with the 701 million and still have a surplus of about 30 million jointly. So it means our duty as a department is to put concerted effort on assisting municipalities with revenue enhancement strategies. So that's where we are, and the slide on 56 does show the bar representation of what we have already spoken about. Now, coming to slide 57, it talks about salaries versus the operating expenditure. And you would see that the picture is not nice there, Chair. The total of salaries in all municipalities under Harris jointly is 20 million. But the operating expenses is 30 million. So meaning that there's always a deficit of about 10 or 9 million. Because they are all grant reliant. They don't have a means of collection. Now we have started a process as COPTA, working together with the provincial treasurer, where we are teaching these municipalities to actually try and claim the rates and taxes from your rural development in terms of the land that is owned to government. It's also yielding positive taxes, but that is not sufficient because people who are supposed to be paid are also not paid. We can't rely only on government to bail out municipalities through rates and taxes, whereas people who are supposed to pay also, like your teachers, nurses, including ourselves, and then other, you know, sectors of our community are not paying. So if we can then instill that discipline and that culture on them, they will be able to come and pay, and we'll see improvement in terms of revenue enhancement in municipalities. Now, the financial position of all municipalities in Harris, you will see that each municipality, for instance, the first one being Harris, because normally we bail out Harris year in, year out. The income was about 20 million, expenditure 3 million, and they still have got municipalities. You will see those figures in red, that there's a problem and we need to do something about it. Around expenditure vis-a-vis the income. Because the expenditure cannot be more than your income. Otherwise, if your expenditure is more than your income, Slide 59 also deals with the financial position of all municipalities under legislative control. So you see there what is the situation, those municipalities that can afford and those that cannot afford. Togolo and Tswelopele, Tswa and Nala, those are some of the municipalities that are owing. And when you look at Eskom, the culprit there is Machadeng with 3 billion and also Water Board with 4 billion. Pensions 25, SARS, they don't owe SARS, they owe the Auditor General, but together with Provincial Treasurer, we have assisted some of the municipalities to pay their debt to the Auditor General so that we can get an audit outcome. Trade creditors standing at 188 million, and the total that municipalities under the Jolipuzo owe jointly is 8.7 billion, which is huge, Chair. How are we going to reduce this figure? That's one of the critical areas we must actually work around the clock to ensure that we indeed reduce that burden over municipalities. Slide 60 is just to give the same situation, how municipalities are actually struggling around debtors owing to the COVID-19 pandemic, and the total amount is 6 billion. And the bar representation of those amounts, salary versus operating expenditures under all municipalities in Lesotho. You will realize that salaries constitute about 40 million, and the operating expenses, 187 million. So this shows that municipalities spend more on salaries, and they also spend more on operating expenses, but we don't have a reflection of how much income are they making. And these are some of the things that are affecting the liquidity of municipalities. The next slide, it shows the bank position or the cash and bank position of all municipalities under legal people. And those totals are reflected there in terms of the bank balance, the push bank balance, the shortfall, income and expenditure. And, you know, when you see the income and the expenditure, at least it shows that there's a positive reflection, because now the expenditure is far less than the income. And once we have that situation, then you can be confident that our municipalities will be able to meet their financial or their constitutional obligation. Now we go to Thabo Mfutanya. As one of the municipalities that I think in my own terminology I say, especially Maluta Pofungiti has got leprosy. If you look at Eskom debt under Maluta Pofungiti, it's standing at 5.5 billion. The water is slightly low because the municipality is only supposed to be paying water extraction licenses to the Department of Water and Sanitation, which they have not been able to actually pay. So that's why you have that amount of 292 million. And the reason why we have the total of 6 billion under ESCOM is the result of the amount owed by Maluta Pofungiti of 5.5 billion. But the total, including AG and all of those things, jointly municipalities and the Thabo Mfutanya owe an amount of 7.3 billion. And for us to be confident that our municipalities will be able to perform their constitutional obligation, we need to deal with these issues, because they are quite significant in ensuring that the municipality are financially viable. The next slide is just that summary, which shows that while municipalities are owing 7.3 billion jointly, but municipalities on the other hand are owed about 4.3 billion. Maluta Pofungiti being the highest with 1.7 billion and Bisabe. So that's where our focus should be, on how do we encourage revenue enhancement and strengthen their constitutional obligation. And the bar representation of what I've already reflected on. Now let's go to the next. The salary versus operating expenditure under Thabo Mfutanya. The salary is 128 million, operating expenditure 445 million. If you compare the two figures, you would realize that there's less amount of money available for service delivery. And this
you missing you, HOD?
Oh, Chair, you can't hear me?
Yeah, proceed now. You were saying the huge difference in the salaries and the operating expenses is so good.
I mean, it's about 200 and something that is available. So municipalities have little amount of money reserved for service delivery and operation and maintenance. And that is why the infrastructure in most municipalities is collapsing, because it's not currently being maintained, and the municipality does not have sufficient budget to actually maintain their own infrastructure. And this is where the focus should actually be. For instance, we have said to those municipalities with a high salary pay, as and when people exit the system, either through natural attrition or maybe going on pension, municipalities must not fill those vacancies. We must identify people who are, or personnel that is redundant, and then try to reskill them and make sure that they close those gaps that may have been left by those who passed on through natural attrition or who are on pension, so that we can keep the salary bill as low as 40%, because treasury norm talks about 35%, but most municipalities are way above 50%. So that's one of the efforts we are doing together with provincial treasury to reduce it to at least an acceptable level of 50%. Even if it's high in terms of treasury regulation, but 40% will at least ensure that the municipality has got about 60% that they can dedicate for service delivery.
the next slide also deals with the cash and bank position of those municipalities under Thabong Sutanyana. I don't necessarily have to do that. Now we come to the last district, which is Fesile Dabi. You will see there, Chair, the amount owed to all those entities reflected. The total is 2.6 billion. The situation is not that bad, but however, we are not of the view that municipalities must owe pension funds, medical aid, because under that medical aid, and if they get unable to be serviced due to the medical aid that have lapsed, if the next of kin pass on, they are unable to be buried because the policies have also lapsed. So these are some of the critical challenges that we face in municipalities. However, we are showing while municipalities may be owing 2.6 billion currently under Fesile Dabi, then they are being owed also an amount of about 4 billion. If you round that to the next 10, you'll realize that it's actually 4 billion. And that's why our effort should be on inculcating the culture of payment, change the mindset of those that are able to pay. And for those that are unable to pay, purify our indigent registers so that we inform Treasury and get necessary allocation that talk to the number of our indigent people in every municipality. And the next slide is also that bar representation of what I've already reflected on. Now, salaries under Fesile Dabi versus the operating expenditure. You will see, Chair, that the salaries are not that much high. It's 87 million. The operating expenses is 304 million. There's always, that room to have sufficient budget to actually dedicate it for service delivery. But we are not confident. The figure must still go down and the one for operating expenses must actually go up so that we have enough budget for operation and maintenance. Then those are the cash and bank positions of all municipalities as they are reflected there. But it shows that the income under Fesile Dabi was far less, but the expenditure was quite high, spending at 300 million. Problems we are confronted with municipality. So I will not necessarily go to slide 75. There is just reflecting what has been the overall compliance up to in terms of the municipal standard of chartered accounts.
HOD, you have disappeared. Mr. Botha? Mr. Botha?
Kevin, dealing with financial, but I want to go to... slide number 86, Eskom debt, and 87 around the water debt, the water board debt. I don't necessarily have to repeat that. I want to go straight to the MIG check, which I think I'm calling on honorable committee members to actually assist us to review some of the policy position that we will reflect on. It's slide 9. If you can go to slide 90. And 91. Yes, 91. Let's go to 91. Chair, we're starting first with Karik Municipality. The provincial expenditure target is 30%. But you will see that most municipalities under Karik have performed so well in terms of their MIG expenditure, standing at 34.8% respectively. And there have never been rollovers because the expenditure is quite positive. Under the Jolly Futures, the situation is better. You will see that it's only Matsikanyana that is standing at 67%, and the three municipalities, including Mashabe, are far below the provincial target, with Tukuluku having registered zero expenditure.
it's worrisome that these three municipalities are not actually performing, because MLG is intended to provide services to communities. So if there's no expenditure, it means those communities are not getting the necessary services. In Tabomfutanyana, you also see that the total and the clubbing, it's worrisome because they should be standing at least above 36%. It's only Ketuana that has actually improved in terms of the expenditure. Marutapofung is standing at 20%. I know that it was far less than 20%, but after the MI team has gone there to assist the municipality, there's that improvement, but it is still below the provincial target of 20%. And one of the reasons you would recall, Chair, it is a result of the ESCOM accounts that was attached. The municipality has not been able to pay the infrastructure service providers as a result of that. And it's only now, after we have won the that the municipality has been able to pay some of the financial obligations. So it's the same with Sezilidad. It's worse. None of the municipalities under Sezilidad are reaching the provincial target, as you would see there. We're there because the subsequent slide is that the district development model is for information purposes. I think honorable members can also read on their own. But what I want to lastly deal with is slide number 101. If the team can go there. You look at that pie chart, and what I want maybe honorable members to focus on is that this is the MIG breakdown. My worry is the 5% for PMU, because in municipalities we are supposed to hire engineers who are competent to do some of these things and also run the PMU. More often than not, except for municipalities, they get consultants to run the PMU on their behalf. So it means it's a money that is reserved for salary. But you look at how much is actually reserved for solid waste disposal, 1%. And solid waste disposal, if it's not actually attended to, it poses health risk for communities. So these are some of the policy positions I'm saying they need to really be reconsidered. You can have, I'm not saying sports and recreation is not important, but you have 8% to build stadiums and netball courts and all of those things. But I'm saying there are issues that are at the heart of service delivery. That must actually be considered even prior to sports. These issues of sports can come after, but if we increase on solid waste disposal, if we increase on the harmless light, because an area that is dark is a breeding ground for thuggery and criminality. So these are some of the things that we really, from the policy position, that would request our principals to actually consider in terms of changing, so that we can fast track service delivery in our communities. And the subsequent slide deals with the employment opportunities as far as the MIG is concerned, how many jobs were created. The subsequent one also, which is part C, is the intervention. Like I said, part of this report was intended to be presented before the Executive Council. I want to put that disclaimer to say, please disregard the ESCO there, Chair. It was just that the Executive Council to indicate what we some of the things that we are saying as part of the recommendation the committee should actually look at, and then maybe pass that as part of their resolution, which must then be followed by all municipalities affected by some of the things. Even though more of the things relate to Mangaung Metropolitan Municipality. And then it goes on like that. Of the interventions were actually made under Section 139 in Mafube, Mismaholo, and then the last part of the presentation deals with the progress report on the employment of senior managers in municipalities, and then the support we have actually provided to municipalities in terms of slide 121, Those are the list of municipalities, what we've actually done, some in kind, some in cash. And then the subsequent slide deals with the audit and risk committees. We're reflecting what is the situation in most municipalities around the audit and risk committees. And then the last one, Chair, deals with the district development model, where we're indicating who are the actual champions that the Executive Council has adopted. That brings then me to the end of my presentation, sir, and thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, HOD Duma. At least this presentation that can provide the overview of also municipalities in the Free State, which we think we need to appreciate. I think you can join us on our ranks. Your eloquence reminds us of one of our colleagues in the Honorable Pumsa. But we must appreciate this because then you give us the overview of the municipalities in Free State. That then where we are sitting now, we know what is happening in municipalities in Free State. I think we need to appreciate this presentation. Sarda, I don't think you're going to take time before I allow the AG to be the last. Because I think if Sarda, can I hand over to you? Earlier in the morning, I think we have the team from the AG office. In the morning when we were preoccupied about the absence of the senior management in the department, we failed to acknowledge Mr. Samson, who was the senior manager for audit on Mangao, and CEO of ADMAN, who was the stakeholder, like the manager, the amount of service to us in AG, because as a part of the AG and the department, but will allow Sauda to say something on matters that they feel will not cover also the AG, so that we can then start to interact with the presentation. Over to you, Sauda.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members, and thank you, delegation from the municipality of the HOD. I think, Chairperson, ours is to appreciate and just put emphasis on what has been said with regard to the AG's report. But what I want the committee to realize is that when it comes to the assurance, that the assurance as is provided by the executive here, the assurance is given by the council and the audit committee. I think the municipality will be supported to improve on the rate, in that the MPEC needs to be supported as well as the administration, as it has been indicated. Furthermore, Chairperson, one would like to say we are happy, but we are happy even to see that the HOD have reflected to all municipalities. But the main problem, it is with regard to payment of the state party. You can remember, Chair, that if one dies now, where is the family going to have money to help them? When people are getting sick, now that we're also in COVID, I think that is where the problem is. And the deaths that we have seen from different municipalities, as it was reflected, but we as SALGA, we are supporting the municipalities. We are providing support even when they have disputes with their debtors. We are coming in, but I don't want to say much. I think I'm covered. I'm rather interested to hear more, which HOD didn't touch. Maybe it will be touched by the administrator. Is with regard to intervention and implementation of a financial recovery plan. We are on board to assist them, but we'll hear the improvement and the updated report in that regard. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for giving us the opportunity to hear the qualities. And thank you very much for that chair. Thank you.
So, guys, done. AG,
good morning, Chair, Honorable Chairperson. My name is manager that was responsible for the audit of Mangaung in the past, I think, 3 to 4 years. My presentation, I'll ask that you just to assist me with the sharing on the of the document. Chairperson, as you would realize, I think you've made a comment yourself as well that the majority of the issues have been touched. I was listening to the HOD of Cocteau Free State. He touched quite a number of issues that are already part of the issues that were reported in the AG report. Together with the municipality, they also touched on the issues that were reported or included as part of the audit outcome for Mangaung as at the year ended 2018-2019. Dear, can we go to the next slide? Chairperson, I won't be touching on all the slides. I think, for example, when it comes to areas like your qualification areas, your emphasis of matter, all those matters have been touched by both the municipality and the entity, the COCTA, the HOD of COCTA in the Free State. The first slide where, that you are looking at is a slide which also indicates that the audit outcome over the past 5 years, I think that was also touched on by the HOD at COCTA. It shows the how the municipality performed over the years. So it ended up in the last year when we performed the audit, where the municipality ended up with the qualification. The major area that helped the municipality to improve is basically the issue that was between the entity and the parent municipality, which is the metro itself. The issue related to how do they treat certain transactions between Centlec and Mangaung. So based on what they agreed on in that year, so it helped to resolve the major issue that caused the disclaimer in the 2017-18 financial year. And then the other areas are areas that have been there in the last 2 years. The only additional qualification paragraph that was included in the 2018-19 is the one that related to the irregular expenditure. Here, can we move to the next slide? That last item, the other three areas, your payable from exchange, the accrued leave, I think the issues around it seems that needed to be provided for us to confirm the amount as disclosed in the financials. That was a challenge in that in the year or we audited. Also, employee benefit, I think that was a challenge in terms of the opening balances relating to the assumptions and the amounts that they disclosed. That on its own had an impact on the closing balance of the 2018-2019 financial year. The issue around fines and penalties, I think this is one area that we foresee is going to still remain a challenge. Looking at the fact that the municipality still has challenges in terms of raising or generating revenue, this is the area in the Mangaung area where there is no clear records or even systems in place to make sure that the municipality is able to generate this revenue based on the penalties or fines, especially relating to the traffic fines. And then the irregular expenditure is the one I said is an additional from the 2017-18. The minister, the city manager touched on this area where there's the issue that we still have to resolve. The municipality has to resolve by getting clarity from National Treasury on the issue relating to on the composition of the bid adjudication. And then also there are other internal control issues which the municipality needs to deal with, which causes the municipality to incur irregular expenditure. And then the next slide we can pass, I think this is a well-known information as to who are the officials that are assisting the municipality with the recovery plan. And then with regards to this one also. I think the issue relating to consultants, I think over the years, especially with the compilation of financials, the municipality always solicits the assistance from private audit firms or private accounting firms to assist them with that. So we are just raising this part because this is the area where we need to benefit as a municipality, meaning the formal skills transfer. There must be a clause in any of the contracts that are entered into so that we can put some of our officials to assist in making sure that going forward we don't place too much reliance on external parties in compiling our own financial records. Can we move to the next slide? More into it. That I think that's information consent, wherein you find that certain information that is included in the APR, your annual performance report, the information cannot be supported by evidence. In some instances, you find that there's consistency issues between what was set as a target or the objective in comparison to what is being reported in the annual performance report. And in some instances, you can't pull that back to your budget implementation plan as far as those objectives are concerned. In other areas, you find, as I say, information is not followed through over the years. You find information that we could be able to clearly audit in the air. We couldn't trace it back, especially where you've got situations where you've got multi-year type of programs that are running in the municipality. So there must be some form of a proper record keeping to assist during the audit process to make sure that we are able to cover all the areas that are relating to the APR information that has been reported. Can we move to the next slide? Okay, the next, this slide talks to the areas where non-compliance was incurred. As we know, most of the time when we perform our audit, there will be areas where you find that there is a lot of audit adjustments due to material misstatements that we are picking up during the audit process. So those are some of the areas that indicate that in terms of the MFMA, when the financial statements are submitted for audit purposes, they need to meet all criteria in terms of the financial reporting framework adopted by a particular entity. In this case, the municipality needs to ensure that all the requirements in terms of the GRAP standards are adhered to. And we've got that non-compliance that relates to the annual financials and annual reports that have been submitted for audit. With regard to expenditure, I think all the speakers before me indicated the challenges that municipalities face with as far as being able to pay creditors within the 30 days as indicated in the discussions. And then also measures to try and prevent some instances where authorized itself. And then with regards to revenue, I've indicated the issue around the internal controls around the fines. Challenge there is information that supports figures that are disclosed in the financials. Maybe just to make the committee also aware, you remember with the adoption of the new Public Audit Act, the amendments that come with it. These are some of the areas where if we foresee that there is material loss or material financial loss to be incurred or that might be incurred by the municipality, these are some of the areas that we will be focusing on to see to what extent does this area meet the material irregularities that we need to pick up with the municipality. And maybe just to make the committee also aware, the municipality is one of those that is included for us to assess the MI process, which is that material irregularity process, which is brought about by the amendments in the auditor General's Act. With regards to procurement, I think there are challenges around procurement, wherein we are picking up certain non-compliances on the supply chain area. So this was one of those areas that the municipality needs to pay attention to, because this is a breeding ground for your irregular expenditure, to make sure that all processes and frameworks and the acts that relates to supply chain needs to be adhered to. And then conditional grants, I think that area has been indicated that the municipality has been using some of the unspent portion of the grants for unintended purpose. So that is the area that also highlights clearly the challenges, financial challenges the municipality has been experiencing over the years. And then consequence management, we've touched on that. I think the city manager also indicated what measures that they put in place to try and deal with those areas. This slide is just to indicate the type of grants that we looked at. For example, your municipal disaster grant, your IPTM, which is a public transport infrastructure network system, together with the USDG, to say these are the type of expenditures that were the unspent portion was used for the unintended purpose of the challenges that the municipality emphasis. The HOD COPTA indicated the write-off, meaning material losses. For starters, where you are unable to collect, we end up having to write off certain amounts. So in the year that we audited, you can see almost around 350 million was written off. The distribution of water distribution losses, the one that was accounted for in the year is around 157 million. And then also the consumer and other receivables that were impaired by the municipality due to chances that such receivables will never be collectible. We are looking at about 3.3 billion rand. With regards to the paragraph that talks to service delivery, on the service delivery, we are monitoring the IPTN program to see the expenditure on the year-to-year basis. I think when you look at the amount that has been spent for the past few years, we're looking at the amount of around 435 million. I think in the year, we also just indicate that the amount sometimes that is spent on feasibility studies and so on, we look at that in terms of the stages in which the municipality has spent to make sure that this program comes to fruition. And then also the other one that we are monitoring is the airport note, development note, that NA. I think since 2012-13, the amount that has been spent to date is an amount of about 142 million. I think the municipality needs to come to a stage where it indicates as to whether will this project still continue or is it put on ice permanently due to non-availability of funds to proceed with this, so that we can get a sense as to how is the municipality intending to deal with the disclosure of this amount that has been spent thus far. Can we move to the next slide? I think the next coming slide will be talking to a large extent to what has already been discussed. The unauthorized expenditure in the year under review, that's 1.364 billion that was incurred on unauthorized expenditure. The comparative figure, which is about 852 billion that was disclosed in the previous year. And now we go to the next slide. To the irregular expenditure, which has been the major contributing factor when you look at the irregular expenditure, the fact that the issue around the non-disclosure relating to the composition of the bid adjudication contributed to a large extent, because we had to go back and look into those contracts that are impacted by the processes which were and linked to the bid adjudication process as far as that composition of the DAC is concerned. And then the other regular expenditure will be those that happens during the course of the normal day-to-day operations of the municipality, where there was non-compliance with supply chain management regulations, where, for example, there are contracts where contracts were extended without following the proper channels, meaning in terms of approval, and then your spending on your DORA, meaning your conditional grants, spending the amount for an for operational purposes. So those are the areas that were touched on by both the municipal and the HOD. And then as far as the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, these are some of the expenditures that we managed to audit during the audit process. 5.2 related to interest to late payments, as we've noticed in prior presentations, that the municipality is struggling to keep up with their payments of creditors, and that on its own attracts that interest. Also, the fruitless expenditure that relates to payments made to supplier where work was not performed to the required standards. So when we bring our engineers to assess the quality of the work that has been done, or the amount of work that has to be redone due to the lack of low quality that has been executed, certain amounts expenditures could have been avoided in terms of the appointing the right contractors to perform the work. And we move to the next slide. This slide is just specifically dedicated to the type or most common SEM findings that we have reported on in the audit. SEM challenges that relate to quotations, that lack of audit evidence, rubies that are awarded, and you realize that in terms of the requirements, the certain information that needs to be attached with those documentation, and find that that is not attached. Some awards are, let's say, given to contractors or suppliers whose affairs are not in order as far as the receiver of revenue is concerned. Also, the competitive bidding unfair process being followed, I think attached on the next one, which is the bid adjudication committee, the composition thereof. And then also just bid documentation that relates to local content. Remember, in terms of the GPI, there are those criteria in terms of the supply or the services that are provided need to meet that local content in terms of the GPI requirements. Can we move to the next slide? Okay, I think here we are just touching overall in terms of the issues that might have contributed to the type of breaches in terms of internal controls that we have observed from our side. So some of them would relate to a slow response. Remember, some of the qualifications that I touched on is qualification that comes over a number of years. So obviously when we talk about slow response, we are talking about the repeat type of qualification areas that we've touched on or we've reported on over the years. And then also the others will be just the issue that relates to if officials deliberately or negligently ignore their duties. This on its own is areas that needs to be looked at to make sure that necessary actions are put in place so that officials can be held accountable. And then vacancies and instabilities and so on, I think all of us know by now, in the year that we were auditing, just before the audit started, the previous CFO resigned. We had to, in a way, try and work with the makeshift finance units to try and make sure that at the end of the day, we are able to cover all areas in terms of the audit process. and then this talks about the composition around the officials in the finance unit, which can also link back to the necessity of the municipality end up having to use consultants with assisting them to compile financial statements and so on. So we can move to the next slide. I think this snapshot to determine the indicators by the HOD in terms of the processes and the issues that relates to the different components as far as the municipality is concerned. When you look at the revenue, you've got the revenue about 3.1, and then you sit with the national government finance the municipality for a certain amount in terms of the grants and subsidies, the grants that I was talking about earlier, the amounts in terms of salaries and wages, to say if you look at this versus the revenue that the municipality is receiving in line with the year in which we were auditing, also the fruitless unauthorized that is incurred by the municipality, the turnaround in terms of the average time for the municipality to be able to pay. If you compare that 181 days with the last sentence there at the bottom, which indicates that it takes the municipality even longer to recover whatever is being owed to them. So you're paying quicker, but you are slower in recovering your debt in terms of your debt collections. So this is just a little snapshot to illustrate the challenges, the financial challenges the municipality has been sitting with over the years. This is the end of my presentation, Chairperson. I try not to repeat majority of the things that has already been indicated by the other speakers. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, AG. Can I allow the department 5 minutes to wrap up the presentation? Because seemingly everything is scripted. 5 minutes.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Chairperson, and good afternoon to all the honourable members of the committee, the SALGA, the municipality, and the provincial colleagues. Chair, we won't do a presentation because I think the HOD has eloquently and comprehensively covered all the key issues, including the state of local government overall in the province. But just to emphasize a few things, Chair, the first one is that, as you know, the Mangaung, the metro, it has been placed under administration in terms of Section 1395, subsection A and C of the Constitution. And it has been seconded to the municipality, provincial officials that are led by the administrators who are in the meeting. And that team, Chair, has developed an intervention plan, which is really focused on bringing stability in the management and also the finances of the metro. And that plan consists of three phases, the rescue phase, the stabilization phase, and the sustainability phase. We are concerned in terms of the time, because it looks like we are still in the rescue phase, which we're envisaging that the 6 months we have moved out of that. But overall, the plan is focusing on three programs: the financial recovery plan, the service delivery improvement, and governance and administration. And then this plan, Chair, is supported by task teams and war rooms, which are meeting regularly and are reporting on a weekly basis to the administrative team. And we are also participating with National Treasury in the war rooms. The financial recovery plan, there are a set of indicators that have been developed to track progress, and then the world are meant to actually process all of these in terms of implementation, but also monitoring of that process. tensions, Chair, strike between the management and the intervention team, and we're happy to report that the meeting that was held in October last month, we have managed, I think, to resolve and clarify the issues of roles and responsibilities, and the team now is really focused on improving, implementing the financial recovery plan, improving the financial situation, and focusing on the issues that the HOD raised in terms of a focus on the revenue generation, so that we are able to address some of the challenges around the creditors that they are owed from the Bloom Water, the third parties' pension. But also the province also is able to also honor its obligations to the metro. So we will continue working and participating in those processes, Chair, as an input from our side, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DDG Fosu. Can I want to welcome all the presentation? Can I see show of hands by members who want to interact with the presentation? Monkey there, I can see you.
Peggy Kwakwa Hadebe.
Yes, who else? Opperman? Kunevas, I suppose. Teresa.
And Alcoche.
Bumza.
Bumza and Direko. Okay, in that order. Monkeys, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready, Chair.
Proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me welcome all the presentation of city of Mangaung and the provincial. But I have one question to the city of Mangaung, Chair. There is this problem of 28 million areas because of misalignment of billing period between Eskom and Sedlec. These 30 days, these are the 15 days. My question, Chair, to the city of Mangaung, how are they going to rectify this problem of these 30 days and 15 days? Because it cost them. This is a huge amount of a municipality having a 28 million area. My question is that, Chair, I have only one question because I can see here that only one question. How are they going to rectify this for 28 million area? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Carl. Honorable Adema with an H.
Thank you, Honorable our Chairperson. Let me thank you for Chair and welcome all the reports as presented to us. It's quite a pity that we started on the wrong footing in terms of technological glitches and challenges, but nonetheless we are here now. Perhaps, Chair, it will assist if I start with the last presentation from DDG 4C. All these presentations that were presented to us, Chair, we were not given a detailed and a clearer understanding in terms of the role of the administration. We understand that the section that was imposed 139, subsection 5, A and C, terms of financial recovery plan.
Phase when they were appointed.
we would like to get an understanding what took so long for these tensions to be resolved, and what lessons we learn from these issues, and we can be able to advise accordingly in other municipalities that might face similar challenges. So lessons learned will give us a great sense of what not to do in future. So that's the first part that I would like to get clarity for me. When the municipality chair was presenting, they gave us a sense that council meets regularly and it is able to execute its constitutional and legislative mandate. But when you read the report of the Auditor General, it paints a completely different picture. In that case, the Auditor General indicates that during 2018-2019, those that were responsible for oversight did not fulfill their duties of holding the administration accountable. The city manager failed to exercise his authority to hold the senior managers accountable for poor performance. Now, the question will be, what has been done to deal with this matter where even council itself is not fulfilling its duties? Yet the report presented to us paints a picture of a council fulfilling its obligation and constitutional mandate. I'm not too sure whether by convening meetings that only constitute to fulfilling the constitutional mandate, if the Auditor General would say they have failed to hold administration accountable. The report also further goes on to indicate that not all the instances, Chair, in terms of irregular expenditure were disclosed in the financial statement. This is despite, Chair, the reliance on consultants for compiling financial statements. Even those consultants that were used, Chair, did not have quality of financial
Where are you, Honorable Adele? You are disappeared. Honorable Adele? Honorable Adele? Can we go to the next speaker in the meantime? Can I note you, Honorable Opperman?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to know the current $135 million rendering Mangaung technically bankrupt. Can they turn this around? If yes, how and by when? And the unspent conditional grants is at 333%. It's an upward spiral since 2015. Are you using your grants for unintended purposes? If yes, can you give us more detail around that? Your material water losses stands at 146 million. How much of this is due to unmetered consumption? And how much is due to theft and vandalism? And then you also wrote off $339 million in irregular expenditure. And you wrote that off as irrecoverable. And irregular expenditure is defined as expenditure not incurred as prescribed by legislation. So somebody did this. Somebody did not adhere to legislation. Was there impact investigation? And who is liable or responsible as according to the MFMA Section 32 2B, were there any investigations that took place? Give us more detail around that, please. And why are unauthorized, fruitless and wasteful expenditure not being prevented in the current year and the previous financial year? It stands at 3.4 billion as on June 2019. And there's been an increase of 912 million. It's about 30% of consumer debt write-off. Why is this occurring for you? Wrote off 349 million in 2018-19 of consumer debt. Information. Why is 67 1B of the Municipal Systems Act? Staff performance need to be monitored, measured, and evaluated. I want to know why were systems not developed and adopted for Mangaung. I'll ask the questions around the municipalities in the Free State later, Chairperson. Thank you.
Honorable Opperman, Honorable Hadeva, you bet. Honorable Hadeva, can I allow Honorable Hadeva to proceed, please? Honorable Hadeva?
I'm covered. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Teva.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can you allow me to switch off my video? There's a serious problem here.
Okay, proceed.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The first thing that I would like to vehemently disagree with is the view that some of the programs in municipalities must then be suspended in place of the others that are more important, as we have heard from the HOD of COGTA and Free State. I think, Chairperson, this is a mistake that political leaders and administration would have done to not understand that to acknowledge the fact that there is no either or. Everything runs concurrently. And I would have agreed with the HOT if you would have said that perhaps at the center of all those challenges in local municipalities is the division of revenue. Because it has the formulae of the division of revenue itself has to be revisited and relooked at in terms of ensuring that municipalities are given the right priority in the fiscus in the monies that are collected nationally, because right now the situation is being only be properly turned around. Be that as it may, Chairperson, I think I also have one question, like Mamke's. Just on a lighter note, Chairperson, I'm just asking because the municipality, when they presented, they attributed the water leakages to gas pipes and some technical problems, citing the reasons as illegal connections from the informal settlements that put a burden on the infrastructure. And my immediate reaction was I paused and said, really? Literally, Chairperson, because I do not know what is the plan of the 11.7 households that are in informal settlements in that municipality in terms of the development of the infrastructure. and the housing backlog that has been reported and is all over the media in that municipality. Can they explain the development in that sense? My other question, Chairperson, should relate to how far to Mangaung Metropolitan Municipality, as to how far the investigation into the overtime registered following the corruption and fraud claims that were received, and what mechanisms is the municipality putting in place to preempt corruption and hold those that are involved in corruption into account? What is the current measure, mechanisms, strategies that are in place to do so? Well, Chairperson, the other observation is you know, those things of PMFMA, who actually ducked up the tender process to buy goods and services. You know, our view is that we should amend them as to allow for insourcing of services that are always required in the municipality. The current district question of the municipality being owed 776 million against 701 million with a surplus of 30 million is something that we have always been saying, Chairperson, in this committee. That indeed it's long overdue that municipalities should be owed what is should be paid what is owed to them, so that they can pay, because most of the time you would find that the money that is owed to them is much more higher than that of the municipalities owing ESCOM. So indeed I hope that we are not going to the next financial year hammering on the same issue about municipalities having to be paid. We must have a time frame by now as to, and a system in place as to, when are the departments and businesses going to pay municipalities, so that we can see the outcome. Debt being paid, which gave rise to, and also in the same breath, getting to see the middleman state of the municipalities to pay the electricity for the residents eroded. Other than that, Chairperson, there is a high vacancy in the engineering service of 1,094 and social services at 742, which has impacted to the delivery of and provision of services. What is the status of Malawi Metro in this regard? What are the current measures on that situation in the municipality? And also, the last one, Chairperson, being the fact that Malawi was a hotspot following a church gathering where 300 worshippers came into contact with five tourists. Given the current level one regulations where international travels have been allowed, of course, given the sub-regulation that go with it. What control measures does the metro have in place to prevent more infections? And what monitoring systems are there in place to ensure that the churches are no longer reverting to those tendencies? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Kyle Brown. Honorable Hussein.
Thank you very much. May I say thank you to for the presentations we've received. There's quite an enormous amount of information to digest in one sitting, but we do appreciate the detail that has been provided, and at least there is a record that we could always rely on as we go forward. So I want to just firstly express my appreciation for that information that you shared with us. I want to say the first thing I want to just add my voice on is the initial discussion that we had when we first started. Unfortunately, the meeting took an hour to get started, about almost 50 minutes. And what worries me, Chairperson, and I want to put this up on the record, is the lack of interest from the executive in this meeting. The minister is not here. The two deputy ministers are not here. DG is not around, MEC is not around, and you know, when you consider what we've been listening to now about the Mangaung municipality, and when you look at how the municipality has been in a perfect situation previously a few years ago, really well-run municipality, doing everything that it's supposed to do, and over a period of time it's deteriorated, the lack of interest from the executive in this meeting tells you why we are in the situation that we are in. What else can be more important when one of the two deputy ministers to be on in terms of monitoring and oversight, and they're appearing before Parliament, that the executive doesn't bother to attend? That tells you the level of interest of our politicians, Chairperson, and the lack of oversight that they have, and the lack of interest that they have in their own job. Because nothing is going to happen to them. We heard about the minister being in the tourism portfolio, which I started to think, oh, that's more important than this being our core business. But nonetheless, I really do think, Chair, and I want to appeal to you that we have to raise our voices with the leader of government business on the lack of interest from the executive on the work that this portfolio committee is doing. We're going to go into an election in about a year from now. If all of us are going to go out there and start promising the world to voters, but then we all know that some of the promises that we're going to make are never going to be achieved when we have this level of problems in municipalities across our country. And granted that there are some areas that, and I try to be as fair as possible, especially when it comes to some of the slides that have been put before us on the screen, I have no doubt that there is some pockets of excellence where the municipality is starting to turn the corner. But it is still in a very desperate state of affairs, especially when you consider where the municipality has come from. And you then have to ask yourself the question that we always ask ourselves when we engage with municipalities, just how did we get here? The answer to that question is the lack of interest from the executive over municipalities. These officials will do as they please and they'll get away with it if the politicians are not holding them accountable. This discussion that we've had from this morning will go no way. We'll hear the presentation, we'll get the information, they'll tell us what they're planning to do. The executive has no idea. So who's going to hold these people accountable and the officials accountable for the undertakings and the promises that they made before the executive committee? Nobody. Because the executive will never know what's happened. They will continue as if it's business as usual. And in my mind, I question whether or not the politicians in charge have a genuine interest in furthering the interests of municipalities and ultimately providing the services to people on the ground. And I ask Chairperson that, through you, that that you raise this matter with the leader of government, the government business, because I think it is starting to become a habit. In the beginning, we used to find on some occasions when the minister was not available, both deputy ministers were here. But now what we're going to see, and I question the level of commitment to the West, as well as making sure that municipalities turn the corner around. We know on this portfolio committee that as time passes on, more and more municipalities are being put in under administration and the situation is getting worse. And unless those of us who have been tasked with the job, making sure that the municipalities turn the corner and deliver what they expected to do, unless we take that level of it, the situation is not going to come. I wanted to put that on the table up front, Chairperson. What I also noticed as we go along in discussions with officials, the lack of professionalism that actually exists. Officials also know, Chair, days in advance that this portfolio committee is going to be meeting. Then there's no proper logistical arrangements about who's going to share a document and whether there's proper network and all of those type of things. I mean, it's embarrassing for Parliament to have to speak about these type of issues to people who are running our cities. Can you imagine? And the reason why that happens is because the politicians are not there. So to the officials, it doesn't even matter. It's not even an embarrassment any longer because their bosses are not watching them. The officials will come before us, they'll give us a story and they'll disappear. Nothing will come out of this interaction. And that's why, Chairperson, I'm asking that what I think that we should do, because all of us care about this municipality, we don't want to see it fail. There are millions of people whose lives depend on this municipality. That in the next opportunity that we get, Chairperson, I want to appeal to you and the rest of the portfolio committee, is that we do a proper oversight visit to this municipality. It has the potential of being one of the best-run municipalities in the country, but look at the state of affairs there. Because there is insufficient oversight over that municipality and a lack of political will to get the situation right. So I appeal to you that we spend as much time as possible. The next opportunity we get to do an oversight, that we go there to Mangaung municipality and we drag the ministers along, kicking and screaming if they have to. But we simply can't go on like this, Chairperson, and just have a discussion for the sake of it. And nothing comes out of these discussions. When you have a cocktail department that's directly responsible for the for COVID-19, the prevention of COVID-19 and the Disaster Management Act, and you have the acting mayor of a municipality that has to be corrected by the portfolio chair to put a mask on, that tells you the level of leadership that we have in that municipality. How do you expect the people in the city to behave when you have the acting mayor of the municipality himself doesn't respect the COVID-19? He doesn't send a very clear message. And yet in the same sentence he says to us, the mayor himself is not leading by example. The level of professionalism, and I think that we need to add pressure, if the politicians in charge of the municipality are not doing it. I would like to know, Chairperson, that the administrator initially talked about a three-phase approach about rescuing the municipality, stabilizing it, and the financial recovery. And when I listened to him tearfully in the beginning, he gave somewhat of a time frame of each of these phases of turning the municipality around. And I'd like to hear from him, where exactly does he think we are in this moment in relation to the original time frame that he initially talked about during his introduction. And we often see administrators are appointed in these municipalities, but I don't think that the administrators themselves are held accountable for doing what they expected to be done. And that's why I want the administrator to at least respond to the portfolio and tell us, since he's been appointed in that municipality, what difference has he made to turn the situation around? Because a lot of what we hear is the contribution from the different officials. The administrator has a specific task, specific job, and they get paid a lot of money to do this. And I'd like to know exactly what difference has been made ever since the administrator has been put there, if he can give us the specific details here. I do worry that the municipality is in a serious financial state, although I think that there are some areas where they are starting to make progress slowly. But when a municipality is unable to collect the money that's owed to it, and unable to spend the money that it has, or overspends the money that it has, that is always an indication of a serious financial state of affairs. More worrying is when the AG then points out that the supply chain management processes you know that the municipality is heading in only one direction. Mangaung is going to become a mess. And that mess is your slogan, they say, is at the heart of it all. The mess actually is the heart of it all because I don't think there's proper oversight. Even from the very politicians who are involved in that. I would like to get a little bit more detail about the net loss that has gone from 42 million to 145 million in just one financial year, and just some explanation for how do we end up in that type of situation. If the officials can please provide us with more information on that. Chairperson, I'd like to hear from the municipality what is their latest report in respect of councillors in the municipality who owe the municipality money. Who are they? How many of them are they? What is the amount that they actually owe? And what is those councillors, regardless of which political party they come from, to cover monies that they owe to the municipality, if they can provide us with a report. The last thing I want to raise, Jay, is I think that the members of this portfolio committee have become accustomed to the style of certain presentations that come before us. And whenever it comes to COVID-19 expenditure, and the municipalities provide a high-level report without detail, that always raises red flags for us. Because I wonder why is it that they will provide every little bit of detail in everything else, but when it comes to COVID-19 expenditure, they give it the total globular amount of detail. So if the municipality can give us, please, a detailed expenditure report on exactly how they spent that 54 million rand in COVID-19 expenditure, how much they spent for masks and sanitizers and all of the other equipment that they spent the 12 million rand on. And the collective amount I see was 54 million rand, which included salaries and a whole lot of other COVID-19 expenditure-related expenditure. But I would appreciate if they can let the portfolio committee have a detailed report on that expenditure. Just to close, Chairperson, to say again, I really will appreciate if we can find some time to go and spend in this municipality so that we'll be able to interrogate some of the other information that has been provided to us, which is very valuable information. But the time is also very short for us to have a proper interaction given all of the wealth of information that they have shared with us. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Nusan. Honorable Mpunga.
And also, when are they appointing the executive mayor?
And then secondly, Chair, I would like to know if there's an element of accountability in the municipality. The reason I'm asking is that I need to know if the senior managers do sign their performance agreement, and if they are failing to perform, is there any action taken against them? And Chair, on the council meeting of the 24th of December 2019, they took a resolution that the Speaker must investigate the non-implementation of MPEC resolutions as set out in the oversight report of 2016-2017. Can the Speaker brief us on that investigation? And then lastly, Chair, is there any action taken against the irregular, wasteful and fruitless expenditure? If so, how many cases that have been opened for those who have been found guilty of any mismanagement of funds? If there's none, what is any other action that has been taken? And then, sir, I just want to understand, what is there any dispute between the Metro and the Bloom Water? If there is, what kind of a dispute? Has the dispute been resolved or not? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Director. Honorable Adele.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I was a bit worried for a second that the network is sabotaging me. You will pardon me, Honorable Chairperson, if I would be asking questions that have been covered already. I got disconnected. Ekurhuleni has not been good for me. Not sure where I got cut off, so I don't know where to start. But let me proceed, Chair, in this session, that in terms of the Auditor General's report, when they indicated areas of qualification, they indicated that not all instances of irregular expenditures were disclosed, meaning some of the irregular expenditures that were disclosed were as a result of Auditor General. Now, what concerns me is that the presentation, again, from the municipality paints a picture of the internal audit committee and MPEC that is fully functional and doing its work. Yet, when you look into the irregular expenditure that were disclosed, were discovered by the Auditor General and that were not discovered by all these internal structures, the 222 million non-compliance with supply chain management policy, the contravention of Section 33 of the DORA, which amounted into 345 million of contravention. Chair, you have fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which means there was no value for money achieved, in a tune of 3.7 million, where payments were made to a supplier that provided substandard work. Now, one would like to get a sense and an honest reflection. Are these committees indeed doing their work? If so, how then it's possible that these irregularities are only discovered by the Auditor General and these audit committees and MPEC were unable to discover such irregularities? Chair, the second aspect is the report, when it reports in terms of what has been done, we are told that the report was forwarded to the MPEC by council, and MPEC subsequently reported back to council, and some of the matters were referred to the Financial Misconduct Disciplinary Block Board, and the board has completed its work and submitted matters, but we are not told when the officials involved in terms of the number and the position they occupied and the nature of the offenses conducted. We just given away a summary of issues, but we want to compare apples with apples. We want to know that official X is guilty or alleged of 1, 2, and 3. Those that have been concluded, official X was given this sanction, and this is how much we're going to be recovering, and this is how much we're not going to recover. So we want a sense of a municipality that is dealing decisively with consequence management, because the report from the Auditor General says there is no political will in effecting consequence management. So those are the issues that one would like to get a sense when going through this report. There's an issue of a municipality that is in financial crisis care, but when you look into the grants, your USDG, your public transport network infrastructure grant, your municipal disaster grant, all those grants were not spent 100%, and these grants were also not spent for the intended consequences. More than 10% of these grants were not spent. Now, we don't get a sense or an explanation as to what led to these grants not being spent. Could it be COVID-19, which started in March, and municipality started in March 2020. We need a clear understanding, Chair, that led to grants not being spent. We need a clear and a detailed report of consequence management, officials involved, and sanctions imposed. The consequences, Chair, for not spending the grants, the AG is saying it led to water distribution losses amounting to 187 million. Meaning, this is the money that was meant to be spent on the maintenance of infrastructure and could not be spent. As a result, there were distribution losses of 187. An operational plan change, IP integrated public transport network, which was a plan with a lifespan from 2016 to 2020. In terms of the report from Auditor General, to date, the municipality only spent 435 million on planning, and 43 million on the construction phase. We are on 2020, yet the money that was spent for planning, it's way above what has been spent on construction. The question that one would like to get a sense of an understanding, how much was allocated for construction in the IPTN operational plan, and when was construction expected to be completed? Do we have a revised date for construction? And what will be the impact in terms of the extension? Because this plan ought to have been completed within 2020. It includes roads and the construction of depots. There's another project, Chair. Which started on 2012-2013 financial year, the establishment of the airport development, its N8 node to establish a new township. Since that 2012-2013 financial year to date, the municipality spent 142 million on planning, and we are told that the project has been negatively impacted in terms of the progress. So one, again, would like to get an understanding. What was the expected completion date? Has the completion date been revised? The reasons for the delay, the project cost from the planning to construction phase, how much was it? I've already touched base, Chair, on the irregular expenditures and fruitless and wasteful expenditures. From the HOD, I'm absolutely outperforming. The picture that has been painted there is not good at all, Chair. It's very frustrating. We all know that from 2012-2013 financial year up until 2016-2017 financial year, the municipality has received disclaimer of an audit opinion with the exception of 2015-2016. I'd like to get an understanding why was the administration ended in that municipality. Because in terms of AG, the administration did not produce the intended results. Yet we are told the administration has been ended in that municipality. At some stage, bank accounts of the municipality were attached by ESCOM. The municipality owes to the range of 4.5 billion debt to ESCOM. Workers are getting paid without doing work because of lack of tools of trade. So if we can just get a sense, a synopsis of the political situation in Maluti Apofong, the administration that at some point was taken by national government and it went back to the province, subsequently ended. What is the situation in Maluti Apofong? Why was the administration and the chair? It's a pity that when I got disconnected, Chair, my thought process were disturbed, so I could not completely focus on my issues. But when they are responding, I will try to regather my thoughts, and if there are any questions that I've missed in the process of trying to get a better connection, I'm sure you will grant me that opportunity. Honorable Chair Mutambi, thank you so much for your time and your generosity. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Hadere. Can we take Honorable Mpumza? Honorable Mpumza?
Hello, my Chair.
That's much better.
You are testing me now, Chair?
Yes, proceed.
Thank you very much. The presentation by the city of Mangaungu, especially when the mayor was presenting, in his preamble, he indicated that there are some areas within the jurisdiction of the metro that are still within the eye of ESCOM. Is that the transition period? You had a transformation task teams that were responsible for working out PM amalgamation, working out the realignment and integration of assets. That whole assets that were in sense not within the jurisdiction of the then Mangau, where now at the integration, all those assets, they had to be transferred to the control of Mangau. Why was it that the assets for electricity supply, they remain in the control of ESCOM, not being transferred to Mangau to perform that function? Was it not this an oversight that these assets and this function should have been transferred into the metro? The second chair, both the executive mayor and the HOD, they are indicating that Mangau prior amalgamation was a financial viable. Now the current fiscal orientation of a decline, they are attributing it to
more on the amalgamation, that it was a factor that those small churches that were disestablished and reintegrated into Mangaung had actually eroded its financial viability. Yes, is one factor that an external factor had actually messed up the fiscal position of that municipality. But also there were internal factors that equally contributed to this economic collapse. In the report, we are getting that the municipality was financially viable, but during this period, there has been a lack of accountability and transparency, particularly on financial management. And this sector also equally contributed to this situation. We are told that all governance structures are in place and everything, they are meeting. But the critical question is, if they were complying with the law, why was it then that they could not make the accounting office and administration account for financial management to the province as well as national? The municipalities in South Africa are legislated to generate a Section 71 report on a monthly basis. And these reports, even Mangaung, we've been doing that. So they have been receiving Section 71 reports, both the province and national, treasurer and COPTA, from this municipality. The question of the matter of the accuracy and timeliness of the data that is seen in that report is a matter that would have to be engaged by them during the period of assessment. Is the monitoring and support by the province and national adequate enough to assist these municipalities? Why now? Because it appears they have established this when the municipality was in financial crisis, so that they must invoke Section 139(5), subsection A and C, so that they could be in a position to introduce financial recovery program. Now the question is, what has been the province, both the DPG, both the Matera, what has been the provincial treasurer, national treasurer, and COCTA doing in analyzing and assessing this report on the financial status of Mangaung before it could arrive at this particular stage where its viability has been heavily eroded? The other critical factor here is to internal within the municipality that have we been playing our governance and oversight role there? I get the sense that the HOC is saying, yes, in terms of assurance, there was some form of assurance. We want full assurance, HOD, from the mayor, the speaker and council, to ensure that administration is accounted. Again, the Municipal Finance Management Act makes provision for the accounting officer to establish adequate financial accounting systems. In this report, there is an indication that on traffic fines, and then this system, they are using a manualized system. Why is it that way, accounting officer? Why were we going that route? While the law enjoins financial accounting systems, why has been this situation allowed to obtain? The accounting officer and CFO must tell the committee. The auditor general is giving an indication in the report that some of the bids were solicited without requiring the necessary quotation. So it means a city, a metro would go to a state of issue the job card instead of going for quotation. Why was that situation allowed? Then one official who was reporting that was indicating an abuse of municipal assets. He's saying this was
you, Honorable Mplumza. Thank you. Let's then get the responses from Provincial Co-op-Town, Provincial Treasury, I see the colleagues are here, then Co-op-Town, and SILGAS, in that order. And the municipality should be the last one.
Thanks, Chair. I want to respond to three issues, starting first with the very last one. The role that Provincial Treasury, Free State Co-op and DCOC has been playing in terms of oversight over the metro. I must put this disclaimer, Chair, that you would recall the metro is a non-delegated municipality. Now, legislatively speaking, the metro is reporting directly to National Treasury. But however, that does not make us abdicate our responsibility as the department in terms of support around Section 15 provision. We have been helping the municipality. We have been working closely with them. I can cite just one example that we appointed a team to go and investigate the irregularities around the misuse over time to the city manager, who subsequently, I believe, should have actually presented that report. But over and above that, I'm aware that the Hawks are also investigating the particular matter, and some of the reports and the information may still be with them. So it's not only that one, but we are working closely with Provincial Treasury and the municipality, especially around issues of budget presentations. We have worked closely analyzing their budget and even assisting them to correct an unfunded budget. So those are some of the processes. The list is too long. I cannot mention over almost everything, but I'm actually indicating a few things that we have been. We are also part of the war room. We are also part of the budget bilaterals in terms of dealing with those issues that the AG has highlighted in terms of the findings. The budget steering, the audit steering committee meeting, we've also helped Handy to mitigate the distance between the municipality and Blue Water to the level where Public Works has actually paid exorbitant amount of money which was dedicated to ensure that they reduce the debt with Blue Water. So those are some of the interventions we have actually made between ourselves and then Provincial Treasury. Chair, on the issue of the ESCOM 28 million and the billing, Chair, you would recall that ESCOM used to charge interest after the 15th day. And in our view, that is actually inconsistent with the provisions of the PFMA, because as a government entity, it is also governed by the PFMA, and the municipality is governed by the MFMA. So all those two pieces of legislation provide that if an invoice is received, you've got 30 days within which to service the invoice once the quality assurance exercise has been conducted. Now, with ESCOM, ESCOM is expecting that to be paid within 15 days. Now it's contrary to the provision of the PFMA. And if a payment comes after the 15th day, that's when ESCOM charges interest. And the interest that used to be charged was prime plus 5%. Up until the intervention of the interministerial task team, looking at the ESCOM debt by municipalities. And it made some where local municipalities prime plus 2.5%, and that also is charged after the 30th day, consistent with the PFMA. But when it comes to metros, the same situation happens or still exists, where if the bill is not paid on the 15th day, then there will be that interest of prime plus 5% charge on metros. So there are no measures left for metros. And one of the considerations that I actually consider is to maybe realize that Mangaung Metro is a rural municipality, and the situation got worse as a result of this amalgamation. If you look at the three municipalities that used to be under Naledi local municipality, Diversdorp, Van Stadenthres, and Wepener, those are completely rural. They are on your way towards the Eastern Cape. Completely rural. And then you have Sultan with no economic base. So instead of the Mangaung Metro gaining more income as a result of this incorporation or amalgamation, it has instead, you know, adopted liabilities and reduced revenue. So those are some of the considerations, and our argument with ESCOM has been based on those facts. Because you can't compare Mangaung Metro with the Buffalo City or Nelson Mandela Bay or the city of Joburg. Those are the metros that have got industries and factories. Mangaung Metro, for instance, the large power user in Mangaung Metro are the two universities. And now those universities are actually going off the grid. They are now following the green energy prospect, which then further puts a pressure on the income that the municipality must actually be generating out of the sale of electricity. The second issue, and I'm sure it's the case with all municipalities throughout the country, the Department of Water and Sanitation must actually come into that space and assist. You see now, and agree that to a larger extent, the quality of water that we're giving our people has not been to the required or desired level in terms of the blue drop and the green drop status. But the free role and the free ride that most water producers also compromises the revenue of municipalities. You go to every garage here in Bloemfontein, for instance. They are selling water or still water. Now, people only use water from the municipality for either bathing or doing washing or even for garden purposes. But the very people are not paying for their rates and taxes. Therefore, it is difficult for the municipality to actually generate income. So these are some of the things we are saying. If they are not corrected, we will never see the day or the light of the day to try and then make sure that our municipalities perform in line with the constitutional obligation. So these are some of the things that really the committee must actually assist us in terms of elevating them to the authorities. These issues of water that is sold freely or people actually purifying water and sell it as still water, it needs to be regulated. Because it's one of the revenue streams of municipalities, which has been greatly affected. I know that the other problem may be that what type and the quality of water that we're giving to communities. That's one thing that perhaps will also, you know, hamper our argument towards ensuring that that market gets regulated. That's how far I can actually go, Chairperson, in relation to those specific questions. But we are working closely with provincial treasurer to try and assist the metro. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, HOD. Treasury, there's delegation from National Treasury, because at some point, I think we need to discuss this issue of the non-delegated municipalities. Because seemingly, there are problems with all these municipalities that are non-delegated to province, and also the limitation. I should think next time when we reconvene, we need to deal with this matter, because you know, all the times when municipalities are non-delegated, that's where we have this problem. Is there somebody from National Treasury in our list? Who's Beladate NT? What does NT stand for?
Chairperson, it's there are three of us. I wanted to ask my colleague Tetekile. We are from the National Treasury, myself, Tetekile, and Andile.
Yes, I'm Tetekile from National Treasury. I'm responsible for Mangaung and other municipalities in the Free State on the budget processes. I'm not sure if Chairperson would like me to make comments or you just
you
want
to... You have to respond, Chairperson, because you have the issues that are raised by the HOD. These are the problems that are at your doorstep. And once you hear what is your view on this matter, and how are you addressing this matter? Because you know the problem, they cannot take responsibility because this is one of the municipalities that you are doing oversight yourself.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. From the National Treasury, we support, if I have to state that the current intervention at the Mangaung Metropolitan Municipality is at this stage a provincial intervention. And we work very closely with the provincial treasury and national and provincial COPTA, and we provide support, and we have monthly war room meetings whereby all these issues that have been presented here are being discussed thoroughly, and we give guidance and support to the municipalities on all these issues. So from the interventions, I can state that we are aware of the progress and the challenges that happening at Mangaung Metropolitan Municipality. And if I have to state one of the major challenges that we have as National Treasury, of which the provincial COPTA and Treasury, I didn't hear them highlighting this, is the lack of capacity at this moment with the intervention team, because the intervention team has reported that they cannot the intervention team is unable to achieve. Can I carry on, Chairperson?
Yes, because there's somebody, I wanted to understand who's this person who's continuing to disrupt this meeting.
Okay, yes, I was saying...
Can you assist me to that effect? So that you can... I think it's the Chairperson of Paragraph Network that is new to your microphone. Proceed, Chairperson.
Let me do that, I was unaware of that. Let me do that.
Thank you, Chairperson. So I just wanted to highlight one challenge that the intervention team has actually reported with regard to it's actually affecting their progress in terms of achieving the targets set by national and provincial treasury. It's the fact that the current intervention team lacks capacity in terms of the it is not complete. When the intervention started, I think there was about 5 or 6 experts that were actually seconded to the municipality. But at this stage, there's actually 2, and there hasn't been any, we haven't seen any progress in terms of seeing the province itself providing that capacity to the municipality. And the National Treasury has actually communicated that with the Free State Premier to ensure that the municipality is assistant on that. So with other things that have been presented, Chairperson, National Treasury is aware of that, and through the monthly war room, we actually critique and provide guidance and support to the Mangaung Metropolitan Municipality in ensuring that they reach those agreed targets. Thank you.
Is that all from the National Treasury? The other two colleagues, are you covered by the response?
Honourable Chairperson, maybe to add to my colleague, you were asking what has Treasury done in the last year. So I don't think any of the presenters mentioned that since 2018 there has been a financial recovery plan. It was a voluntary plan that Treasury developed with the municipality after a request from the then mayor. And since 2018, Treasury has then been working with the Metro to monitor the implementation of that financial recovery plan, which is a voluntary plan. After more than a year of very poor implementation of that financial recovery plan, even though we've engagement with the municipality, Treasury then, the next step would have been for Treasury to write to the province, and it was a minister to premier communication to alert the province of the non-implementation of the voluntary financial recovery plan, and alerting the province that it might be necessary for the province to go to a next level of intervention. And the province acted then by doing the Section 139 intervention, which was in December. Now that there's a legal intervention, the province then requests Treasury for a mandatory financial recovery plan. And that request was received from the provincial EXCO. And Treasury then worked with everyone to produce this mandatory financial recovery plan, which is now in the system and in place. So when the war room meets on a monthly basis, chaired by the province who is in charge of the intervention process, that monthly oversight focuses on this mandatory financial recovery plan. Thank you. That's, I think, all from the Treasury team.
Thank you so much, Ms. President. Then can we allow DECOP to respond on issues to address?
Just on a better note, Chair, I think the Honourable Hadev is able to forecast the future. When he was recognizing me as the Honourable Member. Actually National Treasury, Provincial Treasury, and Provincial Court as a provincial level. It's led by, there's a political committee that has been established, which is chaired by the two deputy ministers, Dawu and Masondo, and the MEC. MECs are also part of that. That's the structure that overall oversees the implementation of this intervention. And the structures that have been established are structures that ensure that we're able to support the work of the administrators on a regular basis in terms of implementation of the key areas of intervention. And of course, I must indicate, Chair, that it has not been a smooth sailing from the beginning. I think the issue around the terms of reference, clarifying some of those issues, it was largely around a misinterpretation of the roles of administrators versus the administration, which have been resolved. But also, as you will recall, that Mangaung was also one of those health hotspots in terms of the COVID infections. So there are quite a number of things that have impacted on the slow progress. But I think despite those reasons, I think there is progress that has been made, which I think the administrators can speak to without me speaking on their behalf. To continue the issues, because the focus areas and what needs to be done, the intervention plan, is very clear. We just need to ensure that we are focused on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DDG Fossi. So, is there anything you want to say before I allow the municipality to respond?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I heard one honorable member emphasizing the issue of government departments paying municipalities and that there must be a due date for that. Chair, I think this committee will help us. We as SALGA, we have been, saying this thing, requesting, making presentations and so forth, that really the municipalities must be paid. You see that when Eskom and water boards are owned by the municipalities, there's always a loud noise that municipalities must do this and that and that. But when it comes to where government departments and the schools must pay the municipalities, the volume becomes lower, less than what the volume is when the entities are being owned. Maybe the committee will help us. Secondly, Chair, we as SALGA, we have always been making noise about the change of the formula of this equitable share. And it is worse now that more and more people are getting unemployed. But the equitable share doesn't change. From the fiscal, municipalities get less. They are also even unable to raise the revenue adequately. So I just want to say we want to thank those honorable members that have touched on that. Chair, it is true that in Malidapofu, the municipality that has been on the national list for some time, that ESCOM is overlooking the IGR processes. They just attached their accounts. And Chair, I think that one, we as SALGA, we even went to the Energy Summit. We came up with a proposal. Chair, let us understand, when there are agreements of the bulk supply of the electricity with the municipality, at the same time, while the municipality is sitting around the table signing the agreement, on that side, other side, Pumas Betani informal settlement, it is mushrooming. And so many informal settlements, and that is left behind. I don't want to refer much to what HOD is doing. But what I want to say about that, they are now embarking on installing prepaid meters. And I think they are increasing, they just need to increase that to help them with revenue collection. You've also said, Chair, that about the impact investigation report. I think the speaker will that one. It is true, Chair, the relationship between the municipality and each entity, they were not very clear. There were many grey areas. But now that there is a review of that sale of business, it is that also that has contributed to the improvement in terms of the audit report. The only unfortunate thing that we realize, the presentation of the municipality, it is not 99% in line with the presentation of the Auditor General. But I think the city manager did say that there are grey areas and the challenges that they will see down, but what is needed is improvement. And what we have checked and confirmed, there are a performance agreement that has been signed. Whether how far they are, maybe they'll allude to that. But we as SALGA, we are always supporting our municipalities. We have the teams that are distributed or deployed to different municipalities. Even the POBs are deployed to different municipalities. But that is all that I can say here, so that I must not waste time and repeat things unnecessary. Thank you, Chief.
I'm pressurized for time now, because members must log in now for the plenary sitting. And majority of them of us did good debates. Can I propose that Mangaung municipality submit all their agenda points by today, Tuesday, by Thursday, all issues at raised, if you feel they are omitted, may I ask with the committee secretary, but you know the issues that you are supposed to respond directly as a municipality. Otherwise, I'm taking the members' lines in between now the March 8th and then start to let in the plenary of the 3-9 week.
Sir, we are not going to be long.
Who's talking? Who's talking? Before I recognize the person, that's disorderly.
Then, Chair, is the speaker in Mangawu.
I've seen your hand on the platform. I've got a gadget that shows that people have raised hands. Your hand is here. And that's why I'm talking, because you are the speaker and I want you to respond to the issues in writing.